ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൌർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതഗൈതമോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാദരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേത് കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമദ് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദം പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം ഉദാഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കളിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, last Sunday, we were reading from Ambarish Maharaj's story, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Durvasava Maharshi went to Vaikuntham, and he is having a conversation with Mahavishnu there. Mahavishnu says to Durvasava Maharshi that I have handed over, because Ambarish has handed over everything to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu says, I am helpless about this. situation because there is no point coming to me after you have committed a very serious offense to my devotee. The best thing will be to go back to Ambarish. Because I have given my Sudarshana disc to Ambarish, because Sudarshanam has a responsibility to manage the affairs of Ambarish, and normally I do not instruct Sudarshanam to do anything. Only thing is, Sudarshanam is under Ambarish Maharaj's control now, not under my control. So the best advice will be for you to go directly to Ambarish Maharaj and ask for forgiveness. Go and fall down at his feet. And it is at that time Dhruvasava Maharshi got a bit puzzled and says to Mahavishnu, "I have also served you, haven't I?" he said. "So why do you give me trouble in this way?" asked Dhruvasava Maharshi. At that time, Mahavishnu says to Dhruvasava, "There is nobody there who has not served me like you." That is the way Mahavishnu says to Dhruvasava. And he says to him, if you look at the last one, Tapo Vidyaj in the fourth chapter, 9470. Tapo Vidyaja Vipranam Nishreyasakare Ube Ta Eva Durvini Dasya Kalpe De Kartu Anyatha. That Tapo Vidyaja Vipranam, in knowledge is concerned, there is nobody higher than you. As far as the austerities are concerned, there is nobody higher than you. Nishreyasakare Ube Ta Eva Durvini Dasya Kalpade Kartur Anyatha. But there is something missing there. That is what he is saying here. That one good thing what Ambarish had, it's lacking in Dhruvasava. He says to him, what is that? That Durvini Dasya, absence of humility. Absence of humility. So because that humility is missing in Dhruvasava, even all the austerities that you have performed to come back to me, it does not have any value. If you want, you can have it back, he says. And you shouldn't think that I have never protected you, because if Sudarshanam disc has destroyed that Kritika who was sent to Ambarish by Dhruvasava Maharshi, Sudarshanam has destroyed that Kritika. And in fact, when Kritika came back, unable to burn Ambarish, it should have come back and burned Dhruvasava himself. But that did not happen because Sudarshanam has protected you from that Kritika's attack. So, therefore, my suggestion is, he says, that you go back to Ambarish and fall at his feet. And that is what he sees, the fifth chapter, first week, first verse itself. Sridhara Swami mentions here, Panjame Vishnu Chakram to Prasadya Prana Sankadal Durvasa Rakshidastena Tada Tadvrutta Miryate. That how Dhruvasava Maharshi goes back and glorifies Ambarish and glorifies Sudarshanam also. Shri Shuka Uvacham Evam Bhagavata Dishto Dhruvasas Chakrata Vida Ambarisham Upavritya Talpado Dukhido Grahil Tasya Sodhyamanam Viksha Padasparsha Vilajjida Astavil Trudhare Rastram Kripaya Pridido Brisham. You can see there that that all instructions from the Mahavishnu, Dhruvasava Maharshi goes to Ambarish and falls at his feet and asking for forgiveness. And you will see there in the 14th verse on the 5th chapter, Dhruvasa, what does he say? Aho anandadasanam mahatvam drishtamadyame kridagasubiyadrajan mangalani samihase. Aho anandadasanam mahatvam drishtamadyame kridagasubiyadrajan mangalani samihase. Mangalani samihase. The first time I have seen the greatness of your devotees, and I have experienced that.
loudly Durvasa have spoken this. Durvasa have said this very loudly. And he says that Ambarish Maharaj at that moment pacified Sudarshanam by glorifying Sudarshanam. So Ambarish says to Sudarshanam, if by my activities, if Mahavishnu is pleased with my activities, then please, he says to Sudarshanam, please protect Durvasa Maharshi. This is what Ambarish Maharaj prays to Sudarshanam. If Mahavishnu is pleased with my surrender, Mahavishnu is pleased with the bhakti, then praying to Sudarshanam to leave Durvasa Maharshi alone and to calm down. So, so by now that Durvasa started seeing things in a different way. Durvasa says there that all these years I have performed severe austerities and penances. But all that has done to me is that it has developed a higher ego inside me, a strong ahangaram inside. And unfortunately, I did not act properly. I should not have done this to Ambarish Maharaj. In spite of all the spiritual knowledge, in spite of all the austerities what Durvasa Maharshi has performed, why did he develop a desire to destroy Ambarish? That was not a very nice thought to develop in the heart. So, even though, in spite of the fact that so many lifetimes and so many years of austerities and penances Durvasa Maharshi has performed, and the knowledge Durvasa had, in spite of that, why did such a thought develop in Durvasa's heart to destroy Ambarish? That is what he himself is lamenting about that. So, and he says to him, so, Durvasa realized that what is the greatest greatness of a devotee? A devotee's great qualifications. That humility at the heart and freedom from hate and freedom from any ragam and dvesham towards others. Durvasa Maharshi noticed that. So, I have seen this, I have experienced that, Durvasa Maharshi says. And he decided that I will glorify the greatness of Ambarish Maharaj all over the world. Saying that, and even this incarnation of Lord Shiva, who is Durvasa Maharshi, he even glorifies Ambarish Maharaj, that Srishuka Brahmashi says to Parikshit, that Ambarish Maharaj was such a great personality that this was his greatest success in spiritual life. That in spite of all the knowledge, in spite of all the austerities of Durvasa, Ambarish Maharaj bhakti and that humility at the heart has touched the heart of Mahavishnu. So, even though Ambarish Maharaj heard about this, that Mahavishnu has spoken, recognizing the devotion of Ambarish Maharaj, in spite of all that, there never occurred or there never happened any desire to offend Durvasa Maharshi. In spite of that, Ambarish Maharaj showed the greatest humility towards Durvasa Maharshi. So, Ambarish Maharaj says, this Ambarish Maharaj special qualifications like this is one of the many qualifications of the different kings who have appeared in the solar dynasty. So that is what this incident talks to us about it. We will now continue with that fifth chapter and then we will come back to this story again. Yeah. Shri Shuka Uvacha. We finished the sixth chapter. Sorry.
Shashtarambhe Ambarishasya Vamshamuktva Tataparam Shashtadyashtabiradhyaye Ikshuagor Vamshamuchade.
In the beginning of the sixth chapter, Ambarish Maharaj's story has spoken. Now, from there, 8 chapters is about Ikshvaku and his dynasty. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this 9th canto is a combination of two epics. First 13th chapter is Ramayanam and the next chapter is Mahabharatam. 13 plus 11, 24 chapters, like that. So here, Sridhara Swami says there that from the 6th chapter, Shashadan onwards to Mandhadav, that is spoken. And in that process, Mandhadav's daughters, their story, and their husband Saubhari, all that is spoken there. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Viruba Kedumachambu Ambarisha Sudastraya Virubal Prashadashobol Talpotrasturadhitara Radhidarasya Prajasya Bharyayam Tandave Arthida Angira Janaya Masa Brahma Varchasinasudan Ede Kshetre Prasudavai Punastu Angirasa Sudam Radhidaranam Pravarakshatro Peda Dvijadaya Chuvadastumanor Jetne Icha Guru Granada Suta Tasya Putrashada Jeshta Vikutshi Nimidandagaha Tesham Purastada Bhavan Aryavarte Nrupa Nrupa Panjavimshadi Paschas Chatrayo Madhye Parenyataha Sa Egada Ashtaga Shraddhe Ikshvaku Sudama Dishal Mamsamani Yada Medhyam Vikutshe Gachama Chiram Tathe Nisavanam Gatva Mrugan Hatva Kriyarhanan Shrando Bubukshido Vira Shasham Jada Dabasprati Shesham Nivadeyamasa Pitretena Jatal Guru Chodida Prakshanayaha Dushtameda Takarmagam Nyatva Putrasya Dal Karmam Guruna Bihidam Rupa Desha Nisareyamasa Sudam Tyakta Vidhim Rusha Sadu Viprena Samvadam Jabagena Samacharan Tektua Kaleparam Yogi Satena Vapayal Param Pidaryubarade Bhetya Vikutshi Prativim Imam Shasadije Harim Yajne Shashada Iti Vishrudaha Puranjayastasya Suda Indravaha Iti Rita Kukutstamidi Chapiktam Shrununamani Karmabhi Kridandamasil Samaro Devanam Sahadanavai Parshnigraho Krudo Viro Devar Daityavarajidehi Vajana Deva Devasya Vishnur Vishwalpana Prabho Vahanatve Vrudastasya Babhuendro Mahavrasha Sasannaddo Danurdivyam Adayam Vishivanchitan Stuyamana Samaruhya Yuyulsu Kukudistidam Tejasapyaido Vishnu Purushasya Baralpana Pradichyam Vishidaityanam Arunal Tridashaipuram Naistasya Jabul Pradhanam Tumulam Lomaharshanam Yamaya Bhallairanaye Daityan Yebhiyayurmrdhe Tasishupadamimukham Yuganda Agnimivolbanam Visrajyadurvur Daityam Hanyamana Swamalayam Jitva Piramdhanam Sarvam Sashrigam Vajravanaye Pratyaya Chansarajarshi Idinam Apirakhritaha Puranjayasya putro bol anena tal suda pradhu Vishurandis tadas chandro yuana shusha tal suda Shabastal tal sudo yena shabasti nirmame puri Bhurkada shustu shabasti astada kuvalaya shwaga Ya priyartamudangasya dundhunama suryam balim Sudana megavim shatya sahasrai ahanad prudaham Dundumara Midikyadan Talsuma Stage Jolu Dundor Mukhagina Sarve Trayameva Vasheshida Dradashogabila Shashavadrashumidi Bharada Dradashabutro Hariasho Nigumbutal Sudas Pradaham Barkanasho Nigumbasya Krishashodhasya Senajil Yuvanasho Bhavaltasya Sonabatyovanam Gadaham Bharya Shadena Naruminam Krishayo Sigrba Aleva Ishtim Smavartayan Chakru Aindrim Te Susamahidaham Raja Tadjasadanam Pravishto Nishidarshida Drishtva Shayanan Vipramsa Tanpapau Mantrajalam Swayam Uttidase Nishamyatam Yudagam Kalasham Prabho Paprachukasya Karmedam Pidam Pumsavanam Jalam Rajya Pidam Vipitvada Ishara Prahidenate Ishraya Namaschakru Aho Deva Belam Belam Tadakalam upavrutyam, upavrute kutshim nurbidya dakshinam, yuvanashasyadaneyam chakravarti jajanaha, kamdasyadikumaroyam stanyam roruyade brasham, maam dhada valsamarodi, iti indro deshini madal. നമമാരവിദാദസ്യ വിപ്രദേവ പ്രസാദത യുവനാശോദത്രൈവ തപസാ സിദ്ധി മന്യുകാൽ ത്രസദസുരിതീന്ദ്രോംഗം വിധദേനാമതസ്യ വൈ യസ്മാൽ ത്രസന്ധിയുദ്വിഗ്നാദസ്യ വോ രാവണാദയ യവനാശോദമാന്ധാനാം ചക്രവർത്യവനീം പ്രഭു സപ്തദീപവദീവേഗം ശശാസാച്യുതവതേജസ ഈജേ ജയജ്ഞം കൃതുബിയാത്മവിദ്ഭൂരിദക്ഷിണേ സർവദേവമയം ദേവം സർവാത്മകമതീന്ദ്രിയം ദ്രവ്യം മന്ത്രോ വിധിയജ്ഞോ യജമാനസ്തദർത്ഥ്വിജ ധർമ്മോ ദേശശ്ച കാലശ്ച സർവമേതദ് യഥാത്മകം യാവൽ സൂര്യഭൂതേതി സ്മയാവശ്ച പ്രതിഷ്ഠതി സർവം തദ്യവനാശ്വസ്യ മാന്ധാതു ക്ഷേത്രമുച്യതേ ശശ ബിന്ദോർദുഹേരി ബിന്ദുമത്യാമഥാമൃവ പുരുകൂത്സവം അംബരീഷം മുച്ചുകുന്ദം ച യോഗിനം തേഷാം സസാര പഞ്ചാശൽ സൗഭര്യം വവ്രിരേ പതിം യമുന അന്തർജലേമങ്ങ തപ്യമാനപരം തമാ നിർവൃതിം ഇനരാജസ വീക്ഷ മൈഥുനധർമ്മിണ ജാതസ്പൃഹോ നൃപം വിപ്ര കന്യമേ കന്യാമേകാമയാ ചരൽ സോപ്യാഹ ഗൃഹ്യതാം ബ്രഹ്മൻ കാമം കന്യാം സ്വയംവരേ സ വിചിന്ത്യ പ്രിയം സ്ത്രീണാം ജരഠോയമമ സംവദ വലീപലീതമേ ജൽഹ ഇത്യഹം പ്രത്യുദാഹൃത സാധയിഷേതദാത്മാനം സുരസ്ത്രീണമഭീപ്സിതം കിം പുനർമു അനുജേന്ദ്രാണാം ഇതി വ്യവസിത പ്രഭു മുനിപ്രവേശിതക്ഷത്ര കന്യാന്തപുരവൃദ്ധിമൽ വൃതശ്ച രാജകന്യാഭി ഏകപഞ്ചാശദാവര താസാം കലിരഭൂഭൂയാം തദർത്ഥോപ്യോ ഹി സൗഹൃദം മമ അനുരൂപോ നായം ഇതി തൽഗതചേതസാം സ ബഹുജസ്ഥാഭി അപാരണീയതമ ശ്രിയാർഖ്യപരിച്ഛദേഷു ഗൃഹേഷു മാനാഭവനാമലംഭം സരസു സൗഗന്ധിയ കാനനേഷു മഹാർഘശയ്യാസന വസ്ത്രഭൂഷണം സ്ഥാനാനുലേപാവ്യവഹാരമാല്യകൈ സ്വലം കൃത സ്ത്രീപുരുഷേഷു നിത്യത രേമേനുഗായദ്വിജ ഭൃംഗവന്തിഷു യദ്ഗാർഹസ്ഥ്യന്തു സംവീക്ഷ്യ സപ്തദീപവതീപതി വിസ്മിത സ്തംഭമജഹാൽ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീയാന്വിതം ഏവം ഗൃഹേഷവിരുന്നോ വിഷയാൻവിധൈ സുഖൈ സേവമാനോദുന്ന അദൃശ്യം രാജ്യസ്തോകൈ അരിവാനല സ കദാചിതുപാസീനം ആത്മാവന്നോമാത്മനാ തദർശബാഹു ബഹുവജാചാര്യോ മീനസംഗ സമുദ്ധിതം അഹോ ഇമം പശ്യതമേ വിനാശം തപസ്സിന സച്ചരിതവ്രതസ്യ അന്തർജലേ വാരിജല പ്രസംഗാൽ പ്രഖ്യാപിതം ബ്രഹ്മചിരം ധൃതം യൽ സംഘം ത്യജതം ഇതിനു വൃതീനാം മുമുക്ഷു സർവാത്മനം വിസൃജത് ബഹീന്ദ്രിയാണി ഏകശ്ചരൻ രഹസിത്തമനന്ദമീശേ യുഞ്ജീതൽവൃതിഷു സാധുഷു ചേൽ പ്രസംഗാഹ ഏകസ്തപ്യസ്വഹമധാംസിമത്സരസംഗാൽ പഞ്ചാംശദാസമുത പഞ്ചസഹസ്രസർഗം നാന്തം വ്രജം ഉഭയവൃത്തി മനോരഥാനാം മായാഗുണേ ഹൃതമതിർ വിഷയർത്ഥഭാവ ഏവം വസൻഗൃഹേ കാലം വിരക്തോന്യാസമാസ്തിത വനം ജഗാമാനുയു തൽപത്ന പതിദേവത തർത്ഥതപ്ത്വാ തപസ്തീഷ്ണം ആത്മകർഷണമാത്മവാൻ സഹ ഇവാഗ്നിവിരാത്മാനം യോജ പരമാത്മനിം താം സുമത്യു മഹാരാജ നിരീക്ഷദ്യാത്മികീം ഗതിം അന്യൂയസ്ഥൽപ്രഭാവേണ അഗ്നിം ശാന്തമിവാർച്ചിഷ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നാമസ്കന്ദേ സൗപര്യാഖ്യാനേ ഷഷ്ടോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് സിക്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ശശാദ ടു മാന്ധാദാവ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പ്രോസസ് മാന്ധാദാവ്സ് ഡോട്ടേഴ്സ് 50 daughters who are married to Saubari, all that is spoken. And in the, we will look at the next chapter as well. Mandhadu, Shridhar Swami says, Mandhadu annoya proktam saptame yatra giyade purugul sasya chakyanam harishchandrasya chotamam. So, Mandhadal's story is again talked about in the 7th chapter. And it is at that time, Purugulsa's story and Harishchandra's story comes in. We'll finish that chapter and then we'll summarize it. Shri Shukavacha Mandhadu Putra Pravaroyo Ambarisha Pragirtida Pidamahena Pravado Yavana Ashashya Talsuda Hari Dastasya Vutrobhun Mahantadra Pravarayime Narmada Bradibradatta Prigulsayo Ragay Tayara Sadalam Nito Bujagendra Prayuktaya Garvana Vadil Datravadhyanvai Vishnu Shaktidra Nagalabdhavara Sarpadabhayam Smaradamidam തസദസ്യു പൗരുഗുൽസോയോ അനരണ്യസ്യ ദേഹങ്ങൾ ഹരേശ്വസ്തസോസ്തസ്മാ അരുണോദ ത്രിബന്ധന തസ്യ സത്യവദ പുത്ര സ്ത്രിശങ്കുരുതി വിശ്വത പ്രാപ്തശ്ച അണ്ടാളദം ശാവാൻ ഗുരോ കൗശിക തേജസ സ ശരീരോഗത സ്വർഗമദ്യാഭിദൃശ്യതേ പാതിതോ അവാക്ഷരദേവൈ സ്തേനൈവ സ്തംഭിതോ ഫലാൽ ത്രൈശങ്കുവോ ഹരിശ്ചന്ദ്രോ വിശ്വാമിത്രവസിഷ്ഠയോ യന്നിമിത്ത ബഹുദ്ധ്യുദ്ധം പക്ഷിണോ ബർഹുവാർഷിയം സോനവത്യോ വിഷണ്ണാത്മാ നാരദസ്യോപദേശത വരുണം ശരണം യാത പുത്രോ മേ ജായതാം പ്രഭോ യതി വീരോ മഹാരാജ തേനൈവ ത്വമേ ജയമിതി തഥൈ വരുണേ നാസ്യ പുത്രോ ജാതസ്ത്രീയോഹിത ജാതസ്തോ അനീനാംഗമാം യജസ്വതി സോ ബ്രവീൽ യഥാ പശൂർ നിർദ്ദേശസ്യാ ധനമൈദ്യോ ഭവേതിരി നിർദ്ദേശസമാഗത്തേജസ്വത്യാ സോ ബ്രവീൽ ദന്താപശോർ യജായേരം നദമൈദ്യോ ഭവേതിരി जाता दंदा यजस्वी सप्रत्याहार सोब्रवील यदा ब्रांद्यस्य दंदा अथा मेध्यो भवेदिति पशो निबदिता दंदा यजस्वेत्या सोब्रवील यदा पशुपयर दंदा जायन देद पशु शुचि पुनर्जाता यजस्वी सप्रत्याहार सोब्रवील सान्नो हिगो यदा राजन राजन्योद पशु शुचि इति पुत्रानुरागेण स्नेहयन् धृतचेतसा कालं वञ्चयदातां त मुक्तो देवस्तदमेक्षद रोहितस्तदभिज्ञाय पितुकर्म चिकीर्षितं प्राणप्रसुरधनुष्पाणिरण्यं प्रत्यबध्यत पितरं वरुणग्रस्तं श्रुत्वा जातमहोदरं रोहितो ग्राममेयाय तमिन्द्र प्रत्यषेधदा श्रीशुक उवाच भूमे परिणं मुण्यं धृतक्षेत्रनिषेवणाल् रोहितायाभिश्चक्रै सोऽप्यरण्ये अवसल्समाम् एवं द्वितीये तृतीये चतुर्थे पञ्चमे तदा अभ्येत्याभ्येतिस्तविरो विप्रो भूत्वा वृत्रः षष्ठम संवत्सरम तत्र चरित्वा रोहितपुरीम उपवन अजगीर उपव्रजन अजीगर्ता अक्रीणान मध्यमं सुदम शुन शेपम विशुं पित्रे प्रदाय समवंदना तद पुरुषमेधेन हरिश्चंद्रो महायश मुक्तोदरो अज देवान वरुणादीन महल्कदा विश्वामित्रो भवल तस्मिन् होदा चा धैर्य आत्मवान जब अग्निरभूत ब्रह्मावशिष्टो यास्य सामगा तस्मै तुष्टो ददामिन्द्र शादकौम्भमयं रथम शुन शेभस्य महात्म्यम् उपरिष्टाल्पचक्षते सत्यसारां मृतिं दृष्ट्वा सभार्यस्य च भूपते विश्वामित्रो वृषं प्रीतो ददावहिदां गतिं मनःपृथिव्यां तामद्भिस्तेजस्तापो अनिलेन तल् खे वायुं धारयं सच्च भूतादौ तं महात्मनि तस्मिन् ज्ञानगुलां ध्यात्वा तया ज्ञानं निर्दहन् हित्वा तां स्वेन भावेन निर्वाणसुखसंविदा अनिर्देशप्रदर्केण तस्थो विध्वस्तबन्धन श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे परमहंस्यां संहितायां नवमस्कन्दे हरिश्चन्द्रोपाख्यानं नाम सप्तमोऽध्याय सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द सो लास्ट चैप्टर बिफोर वी स्टार्टेड दीस लास्ट टू चैप्टर्स बिफोर दैट वी फिनिश्ड द अंबरीष महाराज स्टोरी इन एसेंस इन समरी एंड हिज children, grandchildren, that's what is going to be spoken. There was a king in that lineage called Yavanashva, and Yavanashva has ruled the whole planet, and Yavanashva's son was Yavanashva, or his another name was Mandhadav. Mandhadav was another name given to him. This Mandhadav's birth itself is an amazing story. That Mandhadav's, the king himself was the mother of Mandhadav. The king was the mother of Mandhadav. So he was not born from the queen, was born from the king. The king was the father. King was the mother, actually. King was the mother of Mandhadav. So naturally it's interesting to hear that somebody had a birth from the father, isn't it? So Parikshit Maharaj felt he would like to hear that story. Why Mandhadav was born from the father's womb? So Yuvanashva, he didn't have any children for quite some time. And because he had no children, the Kshatriya kings, them days, they were very concerned about having children to continue with the administration. And naturally, Yuvanashva didn't have any children, and that has become a great concern for him, like Chitrakedu in the sixth canto. So, when he had no children, for a long time he thought about this, and eventually he decided to go to the forest because of the detachment from the world of not having children. That became a cause of his detachment. And he goes to the forest from there. He thought, what is the point in living in this world? And he didn't, of course I didn't have children, rather I'll go to the forest and execute spiritual life. Such a thought occurred to him in his heart. That's why he decided to go to the forest. So, knowing this thought of Yuvanashva, the priests who were assisting him, particularly Vasishtha Maharshi and many other rishis, who are helping Yuvanashva in the administration, those rishis also thought that they will also go with the king to the forest. And they went and spoke to him in the forest. This discussion happened between Vasishtha Maharshi and other rishis with the king in the forest. So, Maharaj, the king, Yuvanashva, told Vasishtha Maharshi the situation, that it is no point in me continuing as a king like there. What's going to happen after my time? I may as well go to the forest, execute spiritual life and come to self-realization in this life. He accepted. You can see in the Bhagavatam why all the stories of these great kings, everybody had their own prarabdham to face in this world. Nobody was excluded. Ambarish had his prarabdham to deal with Durvasav like that. And here you can see Yuvanasha's prarabdham. He didn't have children. And because he had no children, that has become a cause of great concern. For him, why the great concern is because the Kshatriya kings, normally king was such an authority that they require their children to take up the administration, the eldest one. That is the system. And therefore, absence of a son was a great concern to him. So, Vasishtha Maharshi says to him, if that was the question, you could have told us that this was worrying you, and I could have performed sufficient sacrifices, and there could have been a possibility of having a child, having a son. With that understanding, they started a sacrifice, a homam, mantra javam, everything in the forest. And after that, they filled the pot with water. It's called Siddha Jalam. Siddha Jalam means the water in that pot, by chanting the various Vedic hymns, it becomes very potent. Potent. The water becomes very potent. So, and their intention was, they have various mantras for them to chant and afterwards offer this water to the queen to drink, and then in due course of time she will become pregnant. This was the power of the mantra. So, but they have to chant this mantra for a certain number of times. So, and the queen was supposed to get pregnant afterwards. They have chanted for many days this mantra necessary for the to make that water, to improve the potency of the water. And almost it's going to be finished. It was almost going to be finished, and they were ready to offer the water to the queen. It so happened that during that time, you can see how destiny works in this world. With all the best planning, things can go in a different way. And that is what Bhagavatam is telling us, to recognize that. He says to him that one night the king is in the forest. Vasishtha Maharshi and others were all in the forest. They have chanted so many days the sacrificial mantras for making the water with the potency to impregnate the wife of the king, the queen. And they kept the water in the pot there. In the night time, somehow or the other, one particular night, the king felt very thirsty. He felt so thirsty, and he was half asleep as well, half asleep. And in the dark, he thought that, where will I look for some water? Somehow or the other, somebody gave him the direction from inside, water is there in that pot, why not drink? He goes there, takes this water and drinks it, which was in that pot, which they have kept there for many, many days after chanting the Vedic hymns. So, king thought that due to the power of sleep or whatever it may be, he has completely forgotten that the water in the pot was mantra jalam, the water that was kept after chanting the hymns. He took it and drank it happily, drank that water. In the morning, when the rishis woke up and they looked for the water, when they took the pot and looked at it, there is no water in the pot. There is no water in the pot. They were thinking, what happened to this water? Last night we have kept everything and covered it with something and kept it, but there is no water. So, at that time the king started thinking, did I drink this water in the night? And he said that, I drank some water, but I didn't know where it was. I saw some pot there. I took and drank that water, he says. The king says this. I don't remember where I took that water. There was a pot somewhere. I took the pot and drank the water, he said. So, they said, you don't have to think about it. a lot. Don't worry about it. What will happen is that only thing is if you drink that water, you'll become pregnant. That's all it is, he said. You'll become pregnant, he said. So what can you do? He has drunk the water. It has gone inside now. And that is why he says there, in the 6th chapter, you can see what he says. Tata, verse 30. Tata kala mupavrute kuchim nirbidya dakshinam yuvanashasya tanayam chakravarti jajanaha. Kuchim nirbidya dakshinam. That Vasishtha Maharshi, what he did was, Vasishtha knew to do surgery also, a little bit of surgery also. He knew how to do that. So, he didn't have scissors and all the tools what the doctors have these days. All he did was, he took a large stone and chanted some mantra and smashed the king's stomach, king's belly. He just smashed on the belly. And the system was that Vasishtha Maharshi's mantric power, power of the mantra is such, immediately the baby was delivered. Baby was delivered. No pain at all. Power of the mantra is such that there was no pain either. And they had that capacity to do those things. They took the baby out, and you can imagine the situation. The baby is born, no mother to feed the baby, isn't it? So, and unless there is a mother and the breast to feed the baby, where is the milk going to come from? So baby started crying. Naturally, it is just like any other baby. By now, Indra comes there. Accidentally, Indra comes there. And Indra says to the baby, "Baby, you don't cry." And saying this, Indra puts the thumb into the baby's mouth. Indra put the thumb into the baby's mouth. And you have to remember, Indra has drunk the nectar before. He lives forever for that reason. So because of the influence of the nectar, and because of that, and when he put this thumb into the mouth of this baby, the baby didn't die. Baby didn't die. From that day onwards, Indra has given this special power to the babies. That is why you see all the babies put this thumb into the mouth like this. It has happened with Indra that day. Today we always, you will notice the children, if you don't give them anything to put it in the mouth, first thing they'll put is the thumb. Thumb will go into the mouth. So that is Indra's work continued today. What Indra has done. anyway, temporarily that was a relief for the relief for that baby, and whatever that Indra has done, that has temporarily solved that problem. It is that baby who is called Mam Dhada. Mam Dhada, I am the mother. In that way, Indra put the hand into his mouth, and therefore he became Mandhadav. Mandhadav became Mandhadav. So this Mandhadav is an amazing personality in the sense that he controlled the whole planet, all the seven seas and all the continents. And Mandhadav had 50 sisters as well. Saubhari Maharshi has married them, and the king felt amazed by that statement. Why Saubhari has gone and married Mandhadav's 50 sisters? So, the Saubhari story is interesting. Saubhari is a rishi who was given up everything in this material life. So detached he was. And he goes underneath the water, and he was performing penances underneath the water. So why did he marry these 50 girls? That story Parikshit wanted to hear. And Why did that happen? Because Saubhari had excessive detachment inside him. Excessive detachment. Because of that, this marriage happened. The vairagyam in Saubhari has gone beyond the limit. And therefore, this 50 marriages happened. Which means that normally grihastha-ashramam, householder life begins when you see women, men, when they see the women and the desire comes in the heart at some point in life, and that is when householder life begins with the desire. They live in the association of male for the female and female for the male. So he didn't want all these things. He goes into the water and holding his nose like this, underneath the water, performing penances. And because he didn't want to see anybody, any woman in this world, and didn't want to hear anything, didn't want to see anybody, therefore closed his eyes, holding his nose tight, underneath the water, he performed his penances. But it so happened once he opened his eyes underneath the water. At that time, he saw the family life of fish underneath the water. So they were having husband and wife, male fish and the female fish. They were having a relationship underneath the water with their family life. When he saw all that, suddenly a desire built up inside him. See how much time it takes to change our mind. That's all what it took for him. So he says that if there is so much happiness in this married life, he thought. So Abhi says there, that why shouldn't I get married? He thought. So, and what, when here, you can also see in the Bhagavatam, when Shukha Brahmarshi is talking about Saubhari, he is a bit careful. Because he himself is worried about it. Then can this happen to me? With the fear, he is saying this in the Bhagavatam. The verses are like that. If you read through the verses, you will see. The way Shukha Brahmarshi is saying is that if it can happen to Saubhari, who is also a rishi like him, if what has happened to Saubhari, will that happen to me? That fear. Because they know rishis will never trust their mind. We trust only our mind, isn't it? The rishis will never trust their mind. When it will turn, which way it will turn, nobody knows. And the rishis know that more than anybody else. It has even happened to Lord Shiva, so what to talk about ordinary people, isn't it? So even the rishis who know this mind so well, what game it can play, which when it can turn in another direction, knowing this well, Shukha Brahmarshi is very careful while saying about that. So, Saubhari has not even thought about getting married. Just a desire came up inside. He's not married yet. And he thought that how he wants to solve that, Shukha Brahmarshi says, let him solve his problem. It's not my headache, he says. So he has to get married. That means he wants to find a girl for getting married, isn't it? So by now what has happened is, thousands of years lying underneath the water, the whole body has become like a tortoise. The whole, the skin has become, you can imagine what will happen if you put something underneath the, inside the water for so many hundreds of years. Altogether the body has become like a tortoise body. It's full of scratches everywhere. And even the head, he's gone so old underneath the water, even the head started shaking. Head was also moving in a funny way. Nothing was stable in the body. So, anyway, he couldn't even walk properly. But the desire, just to show to us, this thing called the mind, condition of the body doesn't matter. Mind is so independent, and if it wants to play its game, it will play, even at that age. So he couldn't even walk properly, so holding on to a stick, he goes to see the king, Mandana. He goes to see. He goes to him and says to him, my dear king, you have got 50 daughters, 50 sisters with you, and why don't you marry one of those sisters to me? He said. So Mahantadav thought for a second, what a situation he has ended up. Very powerful Rishi, sage who had come, who Saubhari. And if he didn't want to give any of his sisters to him in marriage, because what will he do with this old person? What's he going to do? It will become simply a burden for her. And at the same time, if I don't give it to him, he may curse me, and that's the end of everything. So he thought about this for a while, and he found a way to escape from that. What did he do? He says, there are 50 of them, 50 of them not married. And Mahantadav used the technique like the parents do today. They said, we don't know anything what they are thinking about their marriage. If they ask them what happened to your children getting married, the parents will say now that we don't know anything what they have in their mind. Whatever they do, we'll go along with it. This is the situation today, isn't it? Mahantadav used the same technique there. Mahantadav was very clever. He immediately thought in his mind. He said, best thing would be that you ask them directly. And if any of them are willing to marry, I have no problem. He got out of the problem in this way, by saying in this way. So, whoever likes to marry you, they will marry you, he said. I have no objection. When Mahantadav said that, Saubhari sensed what he meant. Saubhari also is not stupid. Saubhari understood that he is trying to avoid the situation. He didn't want to marry any of the daughters, sisters to me. So therefore, he is avoiding me by giving an excuse in this way. So when he heard that, he knew that if I go like this to see them, they will all run away. Nobody will even look at him. So due to the power of austerities and the power of yoga shakti, he changed himself and he looked like Cupid now, youthful and very young and very good looking. A body he created himself for him. He changed his body and walks into the apartments where the sisters were living. And when he got there, all 50 girls, they were all having singing, dancing and joking and having a good time there. When they saw Saubhari walking in, they all got up from their seats and they thought that the Cupid personified has come there, and they didn't want to have a long conversation with him. Maharshi told him, Saubhari told them, that you are 50 girls here. If any one of you want to marry me, you can come with me and we can go now and get married. Who wants to come? He said to the 50 girls there. When one said, I'm going, all 50 of them said, we are all also going, he said. You can see that in the verse clearly mentions there that how this marriage happened. Verse 43. Muni praveshita kshatra kanyan andapura buddhimal Vrudascha Rajaganyabhi Eka Panjashadavara Tasam Kalirabhud Bhuyam Tadarte Bohyasaukhradam Mama Anurubam Nayamva Idital Gata Chetasam Idital Gata Chetasam. So all of them said that I would like to marry you. All the 50 girls says to Saubhari that I am going to marry him. In this way it happened. They started saying to each other, he is a good match for me, so I'll go with him. So other girls were saying, no, not you, it's me who is matching for him. So more or less, it was becoming a fight among them, among these 50 girls. So Saubhari says to them, don't fight now, we can go and get married and then fight. Saubhari's words to them. So, don't fight here, he said. All of you come with me, he said. So he took all the 50 girls with him, and all 50 of them gone along with him. you can see that 52nd verse.
Egatabasyahamavambasi malsya sangal panjasha dasamuda panja sahasra sargaha namnam rajam ubhayagritya mano rathanam maya gune kadamadir vishayartha bhavaha.
So here, not you, not me, it's me, like this, they argued and fought each other, and they all 50 of the men with them. Remember Saubhari, who didn't want a householder life and who left everything in this world, had gone underneath the water to perform penances for many, many, many years, and from there he ended up marrying 50 girls. He ended up marrying 50 girls. So, and from these 50 girls he had many children were born. 50 years. But there is one thing we have to remember here. Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Isn't it? So we may think that, oh, he is fallen and gone. Isn't it? We would have said, what a unfortunate situation, Saubhari, it had happened to him. He would have gone. But actually, he didn't get degraded. He didn't get degraded. So, after a while, after this marriage to the 50 girls and had children, Saubhari Maharshi is thinking like this, that I have given up everything and went to the underneath the water and holding my nose, why did this happen to me? Why did I end up in this situation? And he says to Krishna that, why have you put me into this situation? And he says to all his 50 wives that, I'm going to the forest. Is any of you interested coming with me? He says to them. All 50 of them said, we are all coming with you to the forest. All 50 of them. So, he got a ticket to Vaikuntham for all of them together to go back. So powerful he was, this Saubhari. Saubhari was a very powerful rishi. So due to his spiritual potency, all these 50 girls who married him, they also went back to Vaikuntham with him. So, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, Krishna says, that devotee is like that. When we say, Saubhari Maharshi executed Ashtanga Yogam underneath the water, but he had self-realization, knowledge of the self, and his austerities and penances cannot go wasted. So that is why you find in these stories, in Navamaskandam, in the ninth canto, you will find this kind of stories. So many great personalities who have fallen down, but Krishna has lifted them up and brought, sent them back to the spiritual world. So even though sometimes degradation happened in spiritual life, if you have followed spiritual path seriously, Krishna will make sure that somehow he will pick you up from that situation. Temporary fall down need not be taken too seriously to think that everything is finished. So that is story, that is what this Saubhari story is teaching us. Saubhari story is teaching us. So if there is a, like this is Saubhari's prarabdha. If you try to go against prarabdham with your willpower and determination, sometimes it won't work. That's also this story is teaching us. If you decide that even if I have a prarabdham to come in life, and if I go fighting against it, thinking that I will escape from the prarabdham, Saubhari's story is teaching us that it is not so. If you are meant to happen, it is meant to happen. So that power of prarabdham in even a rishi like Saubhari had to face that. Had to face that. Like they say, when you plant these pumpkins and certain fruits like that, first the flower will come. And then, after the flower, the fruit will come. Normally what happens is, the fruit comes and the fruit becomes bigger and bigger. At the same time, the flower starts losing its freshness and it becomes drier, drier, and finally it drops away. So, especially in case of pumpkin, you can see this. So, if you think that if you cut the flower off, the fruit will grow much better and faster, with that understanding, if you take the flower off, the fruit won't grow very well. It will stop how far it has grown. So, and that fruit also won't come to its full blossom, full shape. So, therefore, you have to allow the body and the prarabdham to come through this life. If you do not allow that, if you think and make such firm decision inside, and to not to allow anything to enter into this life, which means that you are fighting against the prarabdham with your determination, you will find that without becoming proper matured in this life, you may have to leave this body. You may have to leave this body. Because we don't have the right to evaluate our life to that extent. We don't have the freedom, or we don't have the right either, to evaluate your own life to that extent. So, all these things you can learn from these stories of Saubhari and Manthadav. Then after this, Manthadav's dynasty is spoken there, and many, many famous personalities have appeared in that. Harishchandra's story comes there. Harishchandra is well known. Everybody knows about Harishchandra's story. And it is a little different way, that is what is spoken here. What is spoken here. So, Harishchandra wanted a son, and for that purpose, he decided to perform a sacrifice. He thought that, if I have a son, then I will make that son and I will sacrifice that son as the sacrificial animal in the sacrifice. That was his, that's how he prayed. His prayers were such. That he was saying that, if I have a son born, I will sacrifice him in the sacrifice. And he took such a decision. But, and you will see some funny things what happened after that. Once a woodcutter, he had his axe with which he was cutting the wood. He lost it somewhere. Somewhere he lost that the axe. So he prays to Krishna and says to him that if I get my axe back, what I have lost, I will make an offering to you, another axe made of gold, he says. Made of gold. Why does he make an offer? He says he wanted his axe back. So if you say like this and he gets his axe back, he will forget about the golden axe, what he has to offer. He was tempting Krishna with an offer. So here, that's exactly what Harishchandra did. Harishchandra was not certain what he wanted to do. He goes to Varuna. And with Varuna's mercy, he had a son born. And his name was Rohita. Or another name is Lohidaksha. Rohita or Lohidaksha. And at the time, day when he was having the rice feeding ceremony of the son, Rohita, Varuna comes there and Varuna says to Harishchandra, Harishchandra, is it not time to perform the sacrifice? Harishchandra says, he is only having the rice feeding ceremony, annaprashanam, today. And he hasn't even got the teeth, has not completely come. So let all the teeth come out. And then that you require the teeth for the animal that's being sacrificed. And after that I'll make the sacrifice, he said. Varuna says to him, okay, I'll come back later. Due to Varuna's power, in 4 days all the teeth came out. All the teeth came out. So the mouth was full of all the teeth the baby had. Varuna comes back and says to him, shall we have the sacrifice now? Harishchandra says to Varuna, let the teeth all fall off and then we'll have the sacrifice. At that time, Varuna understood that it is a bit dodgy, that he is trying to make some excuses, something like the offering of the golden axe from the woodcutter. So after 4 days, due to Varuna's power, all the teeth has fallen off again. So he comes back again, can we have the sacrifice now? He says to Harishchandra. But Harishchandra says to Varuna, the teeth has only just fallen, he says. So let the new teeth come up and then we'll have the sacrifice, he says. So Varuna became very serious at that point. He says to him, you want to cheat me, don't you? He said. Varuna goes away. Varuna got angry. And at that time, this was the time, the relationship between Varuna and Indra was not very good. They are all higher personalities, isn't it? Varuna and Indra was not in a very good relationship at that point in time. So, looking at this situation, Indra is always keeping an eye on everything. Indra decided to come to Harishchandra and says to him, to Rohita, to the son, he says, that the decision has been made to kill you. To Rohita, he says, Indra says to him, you better leave this place, he said. He didn't want Varuna to have the sacrifice for Varuna to happen, so he says to him, leave this place, otherwise they'll kill you. Indra says to Rohit. Rohit decided to leave home and he started traveling all around the world. So at that time, Varuna got so upset with Harishchandra that Harishchandra started getting this elephantitis for the legs. He started feeling elephantitis. So by now, Lohidacharya Rohita, he has already traveled in the world 6-7 times and he realized that what am I supposed to do to get this disease away from my father's legs? He knew that it has happened because Varuna is responsible for that. So at that time, Varuna says one thing, that if you are hesitant to offer your son in the sacrifice, that you can pay money to somebody, buy a child, and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Who says this? Varuna says this to Harishchandra. Varuna says to Harishchandra. So at that time, one Brahmana had 3 children. And Brahmana was very poor, very poor. One of the children was Shunasheva. There is a law at that time that if you ask a child to be given for a sacrifice, you cannot refuse it. You cannot deny it. So, when Harishchandra goes and asks this Brahmana for a child, he had 3 children. The father says, I cannot give you the eldest one. The mother said, I cannot give you the youngest one either. So who is the middle one? Middle one was this Shunasheva. So Shunasheva was offered to Harishchandra by this Brahmana. So therefore, the middle son, neither the father nor the mother were concerned about it. So you can see, if you are in the middle of the family members, it becomes how it can be a problem. So he took him anyway, Harishchandra took him away and brought him to the sacrifice and tied him to the post where the horse is normally tied. Yupam it is called. And when the boy understood that he is going to be killed, only then, his little boy, he doesn't know. When he realized that he is going to be killed, Vishwamitra Maharshi was there at that time. Shunasheva says to Vishwamitra Maharshi, says to him that, you are a very kind person. I have heard this from my father. My father doesn't want me, my mother doesn't want me. Please give me some, protect me from this, what they are going to do with me. this boy prayed, Shunasheva prayed to Vishwamitra. So when he cried, Vishwamitra is also an amazing personality in the Bhagavatam. Vishwamitra got up from there and he says to Varuna that you are not having this child. Write it and give it to me. Sign it and give it to me that the sacrifice is over and you are satisfied with this. But you are not having this child, he said. So sacrifice is going on, started. It's halfway done. And that's when Vishwamitra got up and mentioned this to Varuna. But Vishwamitra doesn't care. He said this. He said to Varuna, I have accepted this child as my son, he said. And so you give me in writing that you are happy with the result of this sacrifice and you won't make any further claims from him. And gave the paper and pencil to Varuna and told him to sign it, he said. Varuna didn't sign it. Varuna said, I'm not willing to do that. Vishwamitra says to him, if you don't do that, I'm going to curse you now. And that will be the end of it, he said. So Varuna got frightened. These rishis are such that they couldn't handle it. Varuna says to Vishwamitra Maharshi, I will sign it. Please don't curse, he said. So he signs it and gives the paper to him. So, like this, Shunasheva was saved from death by Vishwamitra. There is a lot of these stories there. Vishwamitra had another 100 children. And they are two groups, these 100 children. First 50 and the second 50. 50-50. Two groups. The first 50 is called Madhuchandas. And the second 50 is called Madhuchandas. First is Madhuchandas and the second one is Madhuchandas. Two groups. This Vishwamitra is his nature that he doesn't tolerate anything and he will do what he wants. And whatever he does, he has got a systematic way of doing things as well. Very systematic is this Vishwamitra. So he called both of them, this first 50 Madhuchandas and the other Madhuchandas. Both of them, the two groups, 50-50, called both of them. So, he says to them that this Shunasheva is my eldest son. You have to accept him like that. He told the other 100 ones. And so these 100 children, they asked Vishwamitra, who will inherit all the property? That's what they asked. Who will inherit all the property? Vishwamitra says to him, that he is the eldest one, naturally he will get it. He will get it. So they said that we can't accept him as our elder brother. You can see how things are. He gave a curse to the first 50. You all become mlechas. And they became mlechas. So to save one Shunasheva, he cursed these 50 of them and sent them away. Then he called the second 50. First it was the Madhuchanda, and now the Madhuchandas has come. They said to him that we will accept him as our eldest brother, but please don't curse us, he said. That's all what they wanted. So Vishwamitra says to them, learn how to behave properly like this, he says. How to be such an authority he was, this Vishwamitra's nature. You can see throughout Ramayanam and Mahabharatam also you will find Vishwamitra's. Vishwamitra is an amazing personality in the Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and all. Remember that group of rishis who are going to visit Krishna at the end, before Krishna left the planet. In that group, along with Durvasav, Vishwamitra was also there. In many, many instances in the Bhagavatam, you will see this Vishwamitra's presence there. And therefore, you can imagine the personality of Vishwamitra. It's not at all surprising Lord Ramachandra went after Vishwamitra with him. Vishwamitra arranged all the marriage for him, isn't it? So why did he do that? Because Ramachandra respected Vishwamitra so much that when Vishwamitra told Dasharatha, who was not willing to send Ramchandra and Lakshmana with him, as soon as Vishwamitra said that they should come with me, Dasharatha Maharaja goes inside and consults Vasishtha. Vasishtha says to Dasharatha Maharaj that send them, because it's Vishwamitra, they can go with him. That's how it happened. So you can see here that these compassion in Vishwamitra is also very high. When he wanted to save Shunyashepa, he will go to any extent to save him. So that story is all spoken there. Shunyashepa story, Vishwamitra story, and all the other Kshatriyas with them, it is discussed there. And it is in that dynasty that you see the famous personality, the king Sagara, comes there. Sagara's appearance, and Sagara created all the oceans, therefore it is called Sagaram, Sagar. And with that way, we come to close to the story of Ramachandra. Close to the story of Ramachandra. So, we'll read that chapter, and then we'll come to that stories later. Ashtami rohidasya to vamsho yatra bhaval nrupa sagarakavila cheva nirdhagda yasya sunava. In the 8th chapter, Rohita's dynasty is spoken. It is in that dynasty Sagara has appeared. His children, they offended Kapila Maharshi, and in the potency of Kapila Maharshi, they all got burned into ashes. Ashtamodhyaya Shri Shuka Vacha. Harito Rohita Suda Chambasta Swadbinarmida Chamba Puri Sudevedo Vijayo Yasya Chal Majaham Varigulstal Sudastasmat Brugastasya Vibahuga Sori Bihradabu Raja Sabhario Vanama Vishal Vruddham Tam Manjadam Praptam Mahishyanu Marishyadi Aurvena Janadalpanam Prajavandam Divaridaha Ajnya Yase Sabatni Vir Garodathondasa Saha Sahadeneva Samjada Sagarakyo Mahayashaham Sagaras Chakravartyasil Sagaro Yasya Daikrita Yastala Jangan Yavana Chagan Hai Haya Barbaran Navadhi Guruvakena Chakra Vikrita Veshina Mundan Shmashudaran Kamshin Mukta Kesha Ardha Mundidan Anandar Vasada Kamshir Bahirbhasaso Paran So Ashwamedhe Rayajada Sarvaveda Sural Magam Auroba Dishtayogena Harimalpanami Ishwaram Tasyol Srishtam Vasham Yajne Jahara Shampurandaraha Sumatyastanayadrata Pidurade Shagarina Hayamanye Shamana Aste Samandanyankanan Mahim Prahudichyam Dishihayam Dadrashu Kabilandige Yeshavajiharas Chauram Aste Milidalochanaha Hanyadam Hanyadam Baba Idi Shashti Sahasrena Uda Yuda Abhiyayu Unimesha Dadamuni So Shariragdina Davan Mahendra Hrita Chedasa Mahadvadikramahada Basmasadhabhavan Chanal Nasadhuvado Manikova Barjida Narvendra Mutra Vidi Satvadhamani Kathamtamo Roshavayam Vibhavyade Jagal Pavitral Mani Kera Jobhuva Yesirida Sankhyamayi Dradeha Navriya Mutrustarade Duratyayam Bhavarnavam Mrtivadam Vibhashchida Paralma Bhodasya Katham Prathangmati Yo asamanja samityukta sake shinya nirupal maja tasya putro amshuman nama pita mahide radaha asamanja samalpmanam darshayan asamanja sam jadismarabhira sanga yogi yogad vijalida acharan grahidam loge jnadinam karma vipriyam sarayvam kridado balan prasyadudve jayajanam evam mrtabaritekta pitrasneham apohyavai Yoga Ishwaryena Balamstan Darshayitva Tatoyayo Ayodhya Vasina Sarve Balagan Punaragadan Drishtva Visismiri Rajan Raja Chapya Nudapyada Amshumas Shodido Rajna Turanganveshane Yayo Vidruvyakhyadani Padam Basmandi Dadrashe Hayam Tatrasina Munim Mitchakabilakhyamadokshajam Astol Samahidamana Pranjali Pranado Mahan
അംശുമാനുവാച ന പശ്യതി ത്വം പരമാത്മനോ ജനോ ന ബുദ്ധ്യതേദ്യാഭി സമാധിയുക്തിഭി കുതോപരേതസ്യ മനഃശരീരധി വിസർഗസൃഷ്ടാ വയം അപ്രകാശ. യേ ദേഹബാജ സ്ത്രീഗുണപ്രധാനം ഗുണാൻ വിപശ്യന്തി തവാ തമശ്ച യന്മായയാ മോഹിതചേതസസ്യേ വിദുസ്സു സംസ്തം ന ബഹി പ്രകാശാഃ. തം ത്വാമഹം ജ്ഞാനഘനം സ്വഭാവ പ്രദ്വസ്തമായ ഗുണഭേദമോഹൈ സനന്ദനാദ്യർമുനിഭിർവിഭാവ്യം കഥം ഹി മൂഢ പരിഭാവയാമി. പ്രശാന്തമായ ഗുണകർമ്മലിംഗം അനാമരൂപം സദസദ്വിമുക്തം ജ്ഞാനോപദേശായ ഗൃഹീതദേഹം നമാമഹേ ത്വാം പുരുഷം പുരാണം. ത്വന്മായാരചിതേ ലോകോ വസ്തുബുദ്ധ്യാ ഗൃഹാദിഷു ഭ്രമന്തീ കാമലോഭീർഷ്യാ മോഹവിഭ്രാന്തചേതസ അദ്യ ന സർവഭൂതാത്മൻ കാമകർമ്മേന്ദ്രിയാശയ മോഹവാശോ ദൃഢശ്ചിന്നോ ഭഗവം സ്തവദർശനാൽ. ശ്രീശുകവാച ഇത്തം ഗീതമനുഭാവസ്ഥം ഭഗവാൻ കപിലോ മുനി അംശുമന്ദമുവാചിതം അനുഗ്രഹ്യതിയാ നൃപ. ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച അശോയം നിയതാം വത്സപിതാമഹ പശുസ്തവ ഇമേ ച പിതരോ ദഗ്ധാ ഗംഗാം ബോർഹന്തി നേതരൽ തം പരിക്രമ്യ ശിരസാ പ്രസാദ്യ ഹയമാനയൽ സകരസേന വശുനാ ക്രതുശേഷം സമാപയൽ. രാജ്യവംശമതിന്യസ്യാം നിസ്പൃഹോ മുക്തബന്ധന ഔർവോപദിഷ്ടമാർഗേണ ലേഭേ ഗതിമനുത്തമാം. ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ സകരോപാഖ്യാനേ അഷ്ടമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സോ ഇൻ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ സോളാർ ഡൈനാസ്റ്റി ഈസ് കണ്ടിന്യൂയിങ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സിറ്റുവേഷൻ ദി സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് സഗര വാസ് സ്പോക്കൻ ആൻഡ് ദിസ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഹാസ് ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ദിസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് നോൺ എസ് സാഗരം ഓർ ദി ഓഷൻസ്. സോ സഗര മഹാരാജാവ് He had two wives, and from the first wife he had 60,000 children. From the first wife he had 60,000 children, and the second wife he had only one son. So like this you see two lineage there from Sagara, and you may hear that 60,000 children one person had, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. And we also feel that today when we talk about Dhritarashtra had 100 children, when we say like that we get shocked, isn't it? How could he have 100 children? So that is not surprising, because you can see today, a couple of generations back, it was not unusual to have 10 children, 12 children in a family. Quite normal. Today we have, the norm is one or two maximum. Do ya teen, bache bus, they say. In all the buses in India you'll see this written there. They say, we are two, hum do, hamare do. Like this, all kinds of things. So when our parents are saying to us, well, we were 10 of us, we were 12 of us, we start thinking, how could they manage that? Isn't it? Today we are thinking like that about them. Two generations back, not long ago, one or two generations back, if you go back and see, many families had 12 children, 14 children, it was quite normal. It was not unusual at all. Now the standard is one or two. One itself is enough. That's the way it is now. But you can see how times have changed. And in their times, having so many children was not unusual, and it was not considered a surprising thing at all. That's why when Dhritarashtra said 100 children Dhritarashtra had, we get a shock. How could he have 100 children? All this is all bogus. We take it like that, based on our current situation. But in this world, times are changing so fast, and so much changes are also happening there. So you may think that logically it doesn't look right, but what all I can say is that Bhagavatam is saying to us he had 60,000 children, and when Sagara King was performing his sacrifice, in his Ashwamedham sacrifice, Indra comes and steals the horse from there, and what he did was, he took the horse away and took it to Kapila Maharshi's place, where Kapila Maharshi is performing his sacrifices, and went and tied the horse in front of Kapila Maharshi there, and Indra went from there. So Sagaramarshi, it's the king Sagara's children, looking for the horse which was missing in the sacrifice, inquiring after him, they came to Kavilamarshi's ashram. And Kavilamarshi, when they saw, they thought that Kavilamarshi had stolen the horse. Kavilamarshi, hearing the noise of all the 60,000 who had come looking for the horse, he opened his eyes, and because they offended Kavilamarshi by disturbing him, in his when he opened his eyes, in the power of that vision, they all got burned into ashes. And after that, they were gone. They are finished. So the other son, which was born from the second wife, his name was Amshuman. Amshuman, that understood everything. He said that King Sagara is finished and gone. The 60,000 children have also gone. Then Amshuman tried very hard to somehow or the other bring them back into life to complete the sacrifice. So he went up to Kapilamarshi, and Kapilamarshi gave a blessing to him that if Ganga River comes here and if he is able to touch the water from Ganga River, then all these 60,000 who are lying dead and burned into ashes, they will get a proper direction in their later life. What? Because they died out of this Kapila Maharshi's anger, they had no proper destination to go, because it was a death like that. And therefore, they were in a difficult situation. So Kapila Maharshi says to Amshuman, if we can bring Ganga River from the spiritual world here, and if they get touched by Ganga River, they will get liberated and they will go back, he said. So he tried very hard, Amshuman, but he couldn't do it. Then in that same lineage, Bhagiratha comes. So Bhagiratha struggled very hard. It's an expression in the Sanskrit language called Bhagiratha Prayanam. Bhagiratha suffered. So determined he was. If he decides something, he will only give up after he succeeds. That is the type of person Bhagiratha was. So Bhagiratha, first thing what he did was, he knew that this cannot happen very easily, bringing Ganga River from the spiritual world here. So he has to perform penances for that. But to perform penances, you need a long lifespan to do that. So to get a long lifespan, Brahma's approval is required. So he goes and performs penances like Hiranyakashipu. He did severe penances to please Brahma. Brahma was pleased with him and gave him a long lifespan to Bhagiratha. And then he performed penances with that long lifespan. He performed penances to please Ganga River, Ganga Devi. Ganga Devi appeared and told him, I will come, no problem. I'll come right up to the lower planetary system, to Padala Logam. But when I come from the sky, spiritual sky, there is nobody there who can take my power, the force with which I'll be flowing. Nobody will be able to handle that. If I come onto the earthly planet will be smashed into pieces, he said. She says. Ganga Devi says this to Bhagiratha. So, Bhagiratha asked Ganga Devi, who can bear your force of the power of your flow? Who can bear that? Ganga Devi says to Bhagiratha, there's only one person I can think of who can handle that. That is Lord Shiva. So if you can request Lord Shiva to take me, my power, force, then I don't mind coming over, he said. So first he performed penances to please Brahma. He got the long lifespan. Then he performed penances to Ganga River and got agreement from Ganga River that if there is somebody here to accept the power of the flow of Ganga River, then she is willing to come. Now he has to perform penances to please Lord Shiva. So he goes and performs penances to please Lord Shiva. So very intense penances he performed. Lord Shiva appeared there, asked him, what do you want? He said, that Ganga Devi, Ganga, Mother Ganga has told like this, that she is willing to come, but there is nobody here who can take that power of the flow of Ganga, he says there. So, and the only person who can handle that is you, he said. So, please show some mercy and accept Ganga Devi here, Ganga River here. Shiva says to Bhagiratha that she thinks that nobody is here to stop her coming here. Is that that powerful she is? He said that, all right, tell her to come. Shiva says to Ganga, Bhagiratha. So, and Shiva opened up his matted hair and stood there. And there is a famous picture of Ravi Varma, drawn a picture of this. Shiva standing with his hair wide open, waiting for Ganga to come and to waiting for to receive her. So when Ganga left the heavenly planets, and she was coming with such a powerful force, she was still very proud about her force and strength. She thought that, will Shiva be able to handle this power? What is going to come with her? And when it got to this matted hair of Lord Shiva, not one drop came out from there. The whole thing came and fell on Lord Shiva's matted hair and it stood there. So, the whole Ganga River came and it stayed in Lord Shiva's matted hair. It couldn't come out from there. At that time, Bhagiratha thought that if everything stays in Lord Shiva's head, what's going to happen to these 60,000 sons of Sagara? They are his granddad now, isn't it? Anshuman's and their children. So, I have only done all these things to get them liberated, the 60,000. So, at least you should allow a little bit of Ganga to flow from there. Little bit of Ganga to flow from the matted hair. So, Lord Shiva allowed, touched his hair a little bit, scratched, and from there Ganga River started flowing. Ganga River started flowing. And when it was coming out, again Ganga is very powerful. When it came from Lord Shiva's matted hair, and when Ganga is flowing, it has to come through the ashramam of a rishi called Janu Maharshi. So when it was flowing through Janu Maharshi's ashram, she is still very powerful flowing, very powerful flow. And Ganga's ahangaram inside, she is also a little bit proud about her force. And she is coming in such a powerful way, Janu Maharshi saw this and got angry with her, with Ganga. And what she did was, what Janu Maharshi did, when Ganga was coming like this, he showed his hand and put the whole Ganga River like water for Ajamanam. Like we do for Ajamanam, we pour 2 drops of water. In the same way, whole Ganga River, Janu took it and put it as Ajamana water and started drinking that. I'm drinking that. True that. That. So Bhagiratha says, now what to do? Again it is stuck here. First it was stuck with Shiva. Now it is stuck with Janu Maharshi. So again Bhagiratha went and begged to Shiva to somehow release Ganga from there. Now he goes to Janu Maharshi and again begs to Janu Maharshi to release some water from Janu Maharshi, allowing Ganga to flow again. So, at that time, Janu Maharshi, what he has done, Ajamanam, he has performed, he allowed a little bit of Ganga to come through the ear. To come through the ear of Janu Maharshi. So, and that is how Ganga got another name, Janavi. The name Janavi came like that. And that thing which came from Janu Maharshi's ear, which has come out, that is the Ganga River what we are seeing today. This Ganga River what we see today is that what has come from Janu Maharshi's ears. So you can see in Haridwar when you go there, wherever when you go there, that how Ganga flows there. And from that day onwards, that water, Ganga River, which Janu Maharshi has performed Achamanam, and kept it inside him, which has come through his ears, that is what Ganga, what we are go and bathing nowadays, isn't it? So, what happened here? Because Jannu Maharshi kept this Ganga river inside and allowed it to flow through Ganga through the ear, it is taken that all the Brahmanas have that power. In their ear, what Janu had, Ganga is flowing through the ears of the Brahmanas. Brahmanas' ears, Ganga is present in their ear. So, that is why you will notice when you are washing, Brahmanas who are supposed to wash their feet or while going to bathroom and toilet and all, they take the thread and put it around the ear. This is the reason for that. You will see devotees also doing that, isn't it? They put tight around their ear when they go to bathroom or toilet in that way. The reason is that reason why they put the thread around is that there is Ganga inside and Ganga should not get polluted. And therefore they leave this thread around their ear. That means the Ganga river inside should not get polluted. Nowadays it is not necessary because Ganga is not there. So only if the Ganga is there that you have to put the thread around, isn't it? Ganga is also not there. Because whatever it may be, today's situation is different, isn't it? So and whatever it may be, due to that Ganga river that has come, Sagarest 60,000 children, they got liberated. From this, what we have to understand is that due to a severe offense they have committed to Kapila Maharshi. And due to the Kapila Maharshi's curse, that they have burned into ashes, who? The 60,000 children of Sagara King. Even they got liberated by touching Ganga river, water from the Ganga river. So, it is like that. If it is that powerful, human beings who understands the glories of Ganga river, and if they bathe in the Ganga river, and if you take some water inside from Ganga river, how beneficial that could be. It is very special. It is not ordinary water from the Ganga river. There is something for Ganga river which is beyond our understanding. Some potency in the Ganga river. Why it has been given so importance in the Vedic literature, Ganga. Ganga's special position, we see this Gangeja, Yamane, Jaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalesmin, Sanithim, Kuru. Among all the holy rivers, Ganga has been given the highest position. So, in this way, that whole story is spoken in the Bhagavadam. And after that, the story of Saudasa, another king who comes in that dynasty. And in that Saudasa's king story has been spoken. And in that lineage, another great personality came, Katwanga. Very famous personality. This Katwanga understood that he has got only a very short lifespan. Very short lifespan. And he decided that, I have such a short lifespan, let me use it for self-realization. He made this decision, gave up everything, went to the forest, executed serious penances, and escaped from this material world once for all. So, it is Katwanga's story spoken there. Then, this Katwanga appeared in the Solar Dynasty. From Katwanga onwards, it goes on, comes up to Dasharatha. Dasharatha is Lord Ramchandra's father, up to that. So, now let's read those two chapters and we'll continue from there. Sridhara Swami says here, Naome amshumato vamsha ghatvangavadhivarnyate gangambhudalama ninye yasya pautro bhagirathaha. From Amshuman to Ghatvanga is spoken in the 9th chapter. And that Amshuman's son, Bhagiratha, brought the Ganga river here. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Amshuma Aschatapastevi, Ganga Nainagamyaya, Kalam Mahandam Nashaknol, Tadakalena Samstitaha. Dili Bhattal Sadva Adavada, Shakta Kalame Yuvan, Bhagiradastasya Putrastesam Su Mahal Tapaha. Darshayama Sadam Devi Prasanna Varadasmide Tita Soma Bhiprayam Shisham Savanato Nrupa Kobi Dharaida Vegam Padandyame Mahitale Anyada Bhutalam Vitva Nrupayasye Rasadalam Kim Chaham Nabhuam Yasye Naramayam Jandhyakam Mrajami Tatakam Katra Rajam Statra Vijindyadam Bhagirada Vaja Sathavo Nyasina Shanda Brahmishta Loga Bhavana Haram Jakam De Angasangal Teshwa Aste Akabidhari Dharai Shri Devegam Rudrastualma Sharirinam Yasmin Odamidam Protam Vishyam Shariva Tandushu Ittit Vasanapo Devam Tabasato Shaya Chivam Kale Nelpiyasa Rajam Tasyesha Samadushyada Tathedi Rajya Abhidam Sarvalo Gahida Shiva Dathara Vahido Gangam Padabuddha Jalam Hare Bhagiradas Raja Shirninye Bhuvanabhavinim Yatra Subitranam Deho Basmi Bhudasma Sherade Rathena Vayivegena Prayandam Anudhavadi Deshan Punandinar Dagdam Asinanjal Sangaral Sagaralpajan Yet Jealous Prashamatrena Brahmadandhadamavi Sagaralpajadivam Jagmu Kevalam Deha Basmati Basmi Bhudangasangena Suryada Sagaralpajakim Punashantaya Devim Ye Sevandi Dradavradaha Nahedal Paramasherim Sordhunya Yadihodidam Ananda charanam boja prasudaya bhavachida samniveshavano yasme shraddhayamunayo mala traigunam dustija himtua sadyo yadastadatmadam shrutua bhagirada jetnyetasya nabho paro bhaval sundudhibatada tasma ayuda tasmado bhuval khridur parno nalasago yoshavidyamayan nalal tathakshakdayam chasmai sarvagamastudal sudam tada sudasa salputro madayandi padir nirpa ahur mitra samyam vai kalyash kalmasha angrita utakvajil vasishta shabo drakshabhu anabatya sagarmana rajavacha kim nimito guru shabha saudasa simhalpana edadvedidmichyama kadhyadham naraho yadi shri shukavaja saudasa umrgayam kinji charandaksho jaganaha mumoja bhradaram sothagada pratichagirshaya Sachindayanakam Rajyas Madarubataro Grihe Guruve Bhaktugamaya Patva Ninyena Ramisham Parivekshamanam Bhagavan Milokya Bhakshamanjasa Rajanam Ashabal Krudho Rachokhe Vampavishyasi Rachakram Tadidvitva Chakre Dwadasha Varshigam Sopipo Anjalina Adaya Gurum Shaptam Samudhyada Varido Madayandhya Vavishadi Padayor Jahau Dishakhamavanim Sarvam Pashyan Jivamayam Nrupa Rakshasam Bhavamabannam Pade Kalmashadam Gada Vyavaya Kali Dadrshi Vano Godambadi Dvijo Chudharto Jagrihe Vipram Talpatnya Hagradarthaval Nabhavan Rakshasa Satcha Ikshaguna Maharatha Madayandi Abadirvira Satharmam Kartumarhasi Dehime Batyagamayam Agradartham Padim Dvijam Dehoyam Manisho Rajan Purushasya Akhila Arthada Tasma Adasyavatho Viro Sarvarthavatamuchyade Eshahi Brahmano Vidvam Tabashila Guna Nvida Ariradhisho Brahma Mahapurushasam Inam Sarva Bhudalma Bhavena Bude Shandarhidam Gunai Soyam Brahmashivari Serajarshi Pravaradvivo Katamarkadi Dharma Nivatham Pidrivalma Jam Tasya Sathora Bhava Se Bruna Se Brahma Vadinam Katham Vatho Yatha Brahma Ormanyade Sanmado Bhavan Yadeyam Krede Dachastar Himam Kadapurvada Najivi Shivina Yena Chanam Jamrdagam Yatha Evam Karanabashinyam Vilabandhyamana Thaval Vyakrapashmiva Khadal Saudasa Shabamohidam Brahmani Vishadidishum Burishadena Bakshidam Shojandyaman Murvashim Shamabal Kubida Urvi Shamabash Ashabal Kubida Sadi Yasman Me Bakshida Pramakamartha Badistvaya Tavabi Mutira Dhanam Agrada Pratyadarshida Evam Mitrasham Sabshatva Badilogavarayana Tadastini Samidegno Prasim Barturgadim Gada Vishabo Dwada Shabdande Maithunaya Samudjada Vijaya Brahmani Shabam Mahishyasanivarida Tadam urdhvam na satya satatya jastrisugam karmana apraja vasishta sadarinyado madayandhyam praja madhal savai sapta samagarma vibhranna vyajayida jagne ashmano udaram dasya so ashmagasthenegathyade ashmagamurgo yajnyastri viparirakshida
Nari Gaujamititu Nikshatri Mulago Bhaval, Tado Nishradastasmal Putra, Ida Vidastada, Raja Vishasaho Yesya, Gatwanga Chakravartya Bhul, Yo Devirtido Daityana Vidi Dirinarjaya, Mhutamaitya Tvaitya, Sopuram Santhade Mana. Sami Brahma Gulal Prana Kuladevana Chalpajasna Shriyo Namahi Rajam Nadaras Chadi Vallabha Nabali Abhimadarmahyam Atharmeramade Kujil Nabhasham Nabhasham Uttama Shloka Daniel Kinjanavastvaham Devaikam Avirodatomahyam Tribhuvaneshwarai Navranetamaham Kamam Budabhavana Bhavana Ye Vikshiptendriyadiyo Devaste Sukhradistam Navindandi Priyam Shashad Alpmanam Kimudapare Adesha Maya, Rajideshu Sangam, Guneshu Dandarva Buru, Gandharu, Dandharva Buru, Opameshu, Rudam Pragatyarmani Vishagatur, Bhavan, Hitwat, Mahambrabadi, Idi Vesto Budyanara and Agrahideya, Hitanya Bhavanam, Tadasam Bhavamashada, Yeltad Brahmavaram, Sushma Shunyam, Shunyagalpidam, Bhagavan Vasudeviyam, Granandihi Satvadaha, Srimal Bhagavade Mahabrani, Paramahamsam Samhidaya Namaskande, Suryam Shani Varnani Namo Dhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda
So Ghatvanga, that is where we stopped last. Ghatvanga, interesting Bhagavadam here. Then up to Ghatvanga it has been spoken. Remember, if you are reading Bhagavatam regularly, you will notice these interesting things. When the sixth canto began, when Ajamila's story was spoken, before starting Ajamila's story, Shuga Brahmarshi talks about the glory of Adishesha. Sangarshanamurti's glory has been spoken. If you look into the fifth canto, last verses, in the last chapter, in the last verses, the last chapter is all about the hellish planets. But after the end of hellish planets, before beginning the Ajamila story, Sri Shiva Brahmashi glorifies Adishesha, who is Sangarshana, who is Balaram. Balaram or Sangarshana or Adishesha has been spoken. And then Ajamila story of chanting the glories of the holy name. Holy name. And so between the glory of the holy name and between the glory of the holy name and the glory of Adishesha, the story of Ajamila was spoken. Ajamila story comes in the middle of both. In every canto in the Bhagavadam, you will see an incarnation of Krishna appearing. One way or the other. Like, seventh canto you have Narasimhamurti, third canto there is Varaham, eighth canto there is Vamanam, ninth canto there is appearance of Ramachandra spoken, tenth canto is Krishna. Like this, in every different cantos, different incarnations are spoken. Only in the sixth canto, no incarnation spoken. Why? Why is that? In every other canto, one of the major incarnations of Krishna is spoken. In the sixth canto, no incarnation is spoken. The reason for that, Sridhara Swami says, in the sixth canto is the glory of the holy name spoken. To show the importance, holy name itself is an incarnation of Krishna. Krishna's another important incarnation is this holy name. So, therefore, Shuga Brahmarshi decided that if I talk about the holy name, in the sixth canto, there is no necessity to speak about any other incarnations in that canto. So, like this, Shuka Brahmarshi has used certain interesting things in the Bhagavatam. Like, before talking sixth canto and the story of Ajamila, both one side Ajamila chanting the holy name and escaping from here. The other side, end of the hellish planets, chanting the holy name of Lord Balram. Balram's holy name is spoken. Between the two holy names is the story of Ajamila in the middle of that. Similarly, in the sixth canto, deliberately, there is no other incarnation spoken except the incarnation, the holy name of Krishna. Krishna's holy name is the incarnation for the sixth canto to tell us how important chanting the holy name is, isn't it? So when, similarly here, when Shiva Brahmashi wants to speak about the appearance of Ramachandra, but by the time Ramachandra's appearance had come, first thing Shiva Brahmashi did was, he remembered Ganga River first. Ganga River. And appearance of Ganga River. Why? To purify himself, capable of glorifying Ramachandra properly. Preparing, like Ajamanam people do, to purify themselves. In the similar way, Shuka Brahmarshi spoke about Ganga River to purify himself so that he can talk about the appearance of Ramachandra. That is why Ganga River's appearance came right in before the Ramachandra's appearance in the Bhagavatam. For this reason. That means that in order to hear Ramayanam, you require a certain purification inside, and in order to have that purification, you have to bathe in the Ganga River. That is how and the ancient times they talk about that. At least, even if you can't bathe in the Ganga River, at least by purifying yourself, by remembering about Ganga River and Ganga River's appearance, one can purify to some extent within oneself. So, similarly, what they say is that the bathing in Ganga River is considered so auspicious and pure that in the ancient times that from different places, people used to say that by getting ready to go for bathing in Ganga River, even that was considered sufficient to purify a person. Such is the power of Ganga River. Ganga River. So there are certain karmam in there. There is a system that for the brahmanas, when they get married, that they will while performing their karmam, they will get up and with their umbrella and the stick, they will say they are going to bathe in the Ganga River. And in other words, at that time they are told that there is no necessity, you will can get married and finish your grihasthashramam and then you can go for sannyasam. In that way they have been brought back. So, practically the importance of Ganga River in all the sacrifices, in all the ceremonies in the Shastram, you can observe in different ways it's brought it in. So after that, Katvanga's story begins there. We have spoken right up to Katvanga. Katvanga's son was Dirghabahu. Dirghabahu's son was Raghu. Raghu's son was Aja. Aja's son was Dasharatha. That is how that parampara goes like that. And in that Dasharatha's son came these four incarnations. Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. And what Shuka Maharshi, Brahmarshi says there is that they appeared in the 10th chapter, you will see all four brothers, Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, all of them, Tasya Vibhagavanesha Sakshal Brahmamayo Hari Amshamshena Chadurdhagal Putratvam Prarthita Surai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Vidhi Samyaya. Hari Krishna appeared in these four different forms. They are all Krishna's different incarnation. Rama Lakshmana Bharata and Shatrughna, he says there. So he says that this story of Ramayanam, he says that you have heard enough before, says to Parikshit. Shuka Brahmarshi says that from Markandeya Maharshi. Markandeya Maharshi is the acharya of all the Puranas. Remember in the 12th canto. So Markandeya Maharshi used to visit Yudhishthira Maharaja in the palace and used to read Ramayanam for making Yudhishthira peaceful. Yudhishthira used to think what a life he had in the forest to spend many, many years, although he was a king. And all the difficulties Kunti Devi and Yudhishthira had to face. He was the eldest, wasn't it? So Yudhishthira had all the responsibility on his shoulders, looking after Kunti Devi and all the other brothers as well. They were children when they went to the forest. Duryodhana managed to get rid of them from there. So Yudhishthira was in a great distress at that time. Markandeya Maharshi used to come and recite Ramayanam to him. Reason being, he was saying to Yudhishthira, you are not the only one who have suffered. Even Ramachandra himself had to go through difficult times in his life. So hearing that, Yudhishthira used to feel somewhat relieved after hearing about the distress of Ramachandra, that he was asked to leave the palace by his stepmother Kaikeyi, requested Dasharatha tell him to go, and he had to leave for the forest, and then how Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, and how much distress Ramachandra went through in his life. Hearing all that, Yudhishthira felt somewhat relieved at that time. So that was usual. Therefore, at that time, he says, Parikshit must have heard Ramayanam from Markandeya Maharshi. So here, in the gambling between Yudhishthira and Duryodhana, he has lost it. So he had to go with all his brothers and with Draupadi all together to the forest. So Dharmaputra or Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much in a distressful condition at that time. And it is at that time Markandeya Maharshi spoke Ramayanam to him. And so Markandeya Maharshi used to tell him that you don't have to feel so distressful, because there is another person who has suffered more than you. And that was, in this way, Markandeya Maharshi introduced Ramachandra to Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira felt, when he heard the story of Ramachandra, Yudhishthira felt a little bit pacified. So he thought that it's not only me who is suffering, there are others also suffering here. And normally when we suffer, we think that we are the only one who are suffering in this world, isn't it? You don't think about others. But when you start looking at others, you start realizing that everybody is going through more or less in a similar situation. And you will fall somewhat relieved when you see others are also going through the same problems. So he felt happiness, but he felt somewhat relieved at that time. So, like in the say, olden days they say that you should not walk looking up, you should walk looking down. Isn't it? Not looking up and walk everywhere, but looking down. In other words, you should always look down to others who are suffering in this world, rather than looking up to others who are enjoying this life here. So, Dharmamudra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, used to engage Markandeya Maharshi to read Ramayanam regularly in the palace. And Ramayanam is 24,000 verses. Even compared to Srimad Bhagavatam, it's only 18,000 verses. Ramayanam is 24,000 verses. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit wanted to hear Ramayanam from Shukabrahmarshi. That is how Ramayanam is spoken in the Bhagavatam. How does Shukabrahmarshi present Ramayanam? That's what he wanted to hear. Because you will see, depending on the Rishi who is speaking, they will all have their own way of presenting Ramachandra's story. Markandeya Maharshi has another way of presenting. Valmiki has a different way of presenting Ramayanam. Tulsidas had a different way of presenting Ramayanam. And similarly, great poets who have spoken Ramayanam, they all have Vedavyasa Maharshi's Ramayanam, Adhyatma Ramayanam, another Ramayanam. So Ramayanam has been spoken by great personalities in many, many different ways. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear what Shukabrahmarshi has to say about Ramayanam. Wanted to hear from Shukabrahmarshi. So, and actually to speak Ramayanam properly, Valmiki's Ramayanam is 24,000 verses. Is how can you bring that into this 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, Shukabrahmarshi says in the beginning that you are used to hearing Ramayanam already. I'm not going to expand on that. And he just wanted to skip through Ramayanam like that. When he said that, Parikshit Maharaj was not very happy about it. He wanted to hear Ramayanam from Shukabrahmarshi. So he thought, thinking that, am I so unfortunate that I can't hear Ramayanam from Shukabrahmarshi? So he felt, and Parishad, Shiva Brahma, she noticed that. Sri Shukan saw this and he also realized that the ninth canto, say 7 days if you are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayanam will come somewhere around the fourth day. Fourth or fifth day it will come, end of fourth day. So that means 4 days Parishad hasn't eaten, he hasn't slept either. So he is hearing like this, and when he heard this, Parikshit's unhappiness, he felt compassion for him. So he says to Parikshit, alright, for your happiness, I will briefly tell you about Ramayanam, he said. And that is how, even though he didn't want to say Ramayanam in the Bhagavatam, because seeing Parikshit's intense desire to hear about Ramachandra, he decided to speak. That is what you find, the way in two chapters Shukha Brahmarshi summarized Bhagavatam. He says, and saying like this, that he very, very, very briefly, he tells the story of Ramayana. Look at that. If you look into the 10th chapter, you will see the 4th verse.
Guru Varte Tekta Rajyam Vajaradhanuvanam Balpa Bhadbhyam Priyayam Panisparshakshamabhyam Mrajadabhadarujo Yo Harindranu Jabhyam Vairupyam Shupanakhyam Priyavirharushorobido Bru Vijrumbham Trastabhyat Bhagdasedu Khaladavadhanam Kosalendro Vadhanna.
One verse, whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh sorry, Sri Ramayanam. In one verse in the Bhagavatam. From beginning to end, the whole thing is in one verse. That's what you find there. That is why that one verse has come in the Bhagavatam. So here, in order to make the word come true from the father, Dashrath Maharaj's commitment, he gave up everything. Ramachandra gave up everything, gave up his throne and all comforts at home, and went to the forest with Sita Devi and Lakshmana. And they traveled a lot. And finally, with the arrival of Shurpanakha, Ravana then steals Sita Devi, kidnaps her, and then Ramachandra makes his alliance with Sugriva, and then he killed Bali, and then he prepared himself for a war with Ravana and goes to Lanka, Sri Lanka, and with one arrow frightened Varuna, and then crossed the ocean and came to Sri Lanka. And with all the demons, Rakshasas, Ravana was killed and finally came back to Ayodhya and got installed in Ayodhya as the king. And to that, Ramachandra, let him protect all of us. That is that verse, what he's talking about. When this verse was recited, Parikshit Maharaj looked at Shukha Brahmarshi and thought, is that all Ramayanam is going to be? He said, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit that Ramayanam will never end. If I start speaking from Ramayanam, it will not come to an end. But for your satisfaction, he says, for your satisfaction, some different parts of Ramayanam we will remember for the moment. Not the whole Ramayanam. Just like you take from the album some different photographs and talk about it. Similarly, what Shukha Brahmarshi is doing here is not the whole Ramayanam. From that whole Ramayanam episode, few important ones, what he thought may be interesting, spoke about that in the Bhagavatam. So, just like after a big feast, suppose there's a big feast, and everybody had eaten, then sometimes people think, is there anything left over in the storeroom? Kachoris or samosas or gulab jamun, let me have it. In that way, whatever that was, it will appear like that, the way Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken about Ramayanam. So this Ramayanam feast, Ramayana Sadhya, we can only remember a certain parts of that Ramayanam here. And like after the marriage, you had your marriage album. After the marriage, how youthful you looking. with beautiful wife and family members and everything. When you are 60, 70, you take your album and you look at it again, thinking about those golden days, what you had here. So, similarly, all you can do now is to take something from Ramayana and look at it. And like you get when you look at your marriage album and seeing how wonderful it was those days and now what is the situation. Think about that. So, and similarly, that's what he's saying here. Not saying the whole story. Not saying the whole story. That is not the intention. So, here,
Vishwamitradvareyena Marijadhyanishachara Pashyado Lashmana Seva Hada Nairuda Pungava.
Fifth verse there. Says like that. Vishwamitra, for the sake of protecting the sacrifice, Yagaraksha, for that purpose, Vishwamitra comes to the palace and asks Dasharatha to send Ramachandra with him. Ramachandra with him. And when Vishwamitra asked that to Dasharatha, Dasharatha was thinking, these four boys, Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, they were born after performing a very important sacrifice, Putrakameshi, isn't it? And out of that, Dasharatha was very fond of Ramachandra. How to send Ramachandra with Vishwamitra to the forest? The intention was that for protecting the, if anything happens to Ramachandra while while protecting the sacrifice. So, in that situation, he was a little bit hesitant to send Ramachandra with Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra had some intentions in him that Vishwamitra and Vasishtha had big problems before, mutually. They fought each other. And in that process, in order to beat Vasishtha, Vishwamitra has acquired some very powerful divine weapons. Very powerful divine weapons. And all those weapons were with Vishwamitra. He didn't know what to do with it. He has acquired them to fight with Vasishtha. But the weapons are still with him. And Vishwamitra's intention was, you see how intelligent Vishwamitra is. Vishwamitra's point is, when you have something very powerful, if it is in the hands of people who have proper sense, who won't abuse it, then it is okay. Otherwise, it shouldn't be given to them. It shouldn't be given to somebody who doesn't have proper discriminative power. Otherwise, it will be abused. It will be abused. Knowing this, Vishwamitra thought that there is nobody in the planet to whom he could give these weapons. Because they were such powerful weapons, he wanted to hand it over to Ramachandra because he had faith that Ramachandra will not misuse it. So, it's an indication of that. And while going like that, for the sake of protecting this sacrifice, on the way, Vishwamitra gave them to Ramachandra. And two mantras, Bala and Adibala, were also given to him. And with one arrow, Sri Ramachandra killed Tanaka on the way and satisfied Vishwamitra. Killing women is considered to be a bad thing. It's not very honorable for a Kshatriya. And in appearance of Ramachandra, this one incident, and that too had to happen first time for Ramachandra to do that, killing Tandaga. Why did he have to do that? Because Vishwamitra has told him to do that. That is why it's also to tell us that Sri Ramachandra is telling us that if a spiritual master says something, you don't have to look at the right or wrong of that instruction. Right side or the wrong side. You are allowed to do that. And if any reactions comes from that, he is supposed to accept the reactions, to teach us that. That is why this killing Tataka in the Ramayanam. That it does not affect us. Suppose the spiritual master has told something to do, and in your logic it may not look logical, but if you do it, it does not cause any reaction from that. Because the power of the spiritual master is such that he will take the reaction from that. To such an importance is given to the instruction of the spiritual master. So in this way, they arrived at Vishwamitra's place of sacrifice, Yagashala. And Maricha and Subahu, they were the ones who were the two Rakshasas who were causing problems while performing the sacrifice. Subahu was killed. But Maricha had still some more role to play in Ramayanam. Therefore, Maricha was given some shelter and he was sent away from there. Then, after that, Ramachandra comes to Videha kingdom. And on the way, there was a stone lying there, which was Ahalya. Ahalya, Gautama Maharshi's wife. She was lying there in the form of a stone, and Ramachandra touched that stone with his feet, and the stone got back her original form as Ahalya. So, actually, the responsible person who did this was Indra. When Gautama Maharshi was not there, Indra goes and seduces Ahalya, and when Gautama Maharshi came back and realized that Ahalya had been with Indra, she was cursed and she had to become a stone, but Gautama Maharshi gave this, that you will get released from this stony existence when Ramachandra touches your feet. So, and Ahalya got released from her curse, from the curse of Gautama Maharshi. So, what is indicating to us is that even inside all of us, there is some Ahalya present there. And due to the curse of Gautama Maharshi, it has become like the stone inside. In fact, more solid than a stone. That is what it is. So, when Ramachandra's lotus feet touches inside, for several lifetimes, which is lying there in the form of the stone, we will also get released from that stony existence inside us. Due to our ignorance, ajnanam, which is considered to be like a stone, or avidya, ignorance inside. So that is what Shukha Brahma Shri is talking to us through this story of Ahalya. Ahalya's tattvam is that. So Sri Ramachandra arrives at the palace of Videha, that is Mithila, what is known as Mithila today. Then the next day, they stayed for a day. The next day, they brought this huge Shaiva Chapam, the big bow from Lord Shiva. And 360 people had to carry that, to bring it there. And Ramachandra took that in his hand, and just like a baby elephant breaks the sugar cane, in a similar way, Ramachandra broke that, and Sita Devi married Ramachandra there. And then they informs about this marriage to Dasharatha in Ayodhya. And Dasharatha Maharaja comes with all of their children and wives to Mithila. And there they decided to marry all the other three brothers also. Who? Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. For the king of Mithila. King of Mithila had a daughter called Urmila, and who was born in a normal way. From the queen. Sita Devi's birth is different, isn't it? That Sira Dvaja's daughter, from while they were plowing the land from there, she has born. So, this king of Mithila, they are called Videha. These are all their names. Maithili or Mithila, Videha. These names are given for special reasons. You will see at the end of 9th canto, Shukha Brahma Shri gave a special recognition to this family of Janaka. What you will observe there is that all the members of that family, they're always liberated. They're all householders and they're all liberated souls, says here in the Bhagavatam. Sukha Brahma Sri says this, that this is the speciality of that family. Because of King Janaka appeared in that family, and he says there that all the family members who have appeared in that, all of them were liberated souls. All of them were liberated souls. No, it is the last verse in the 13th chapter. The last verse. She says, this is the speciality of that Maithili's kingdom, Mithila kingdom. Etevai Maithila Rajan. All the family members, all the kings in that family, Atma Vidya Visharada, they were all specialists in the knowledge of the soul. Remember, Krishna has only spoken about one king in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is Janaka. Isn't it? There's only spoken about one king in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is Janaka. And he is. So, you can see their position, how elevated they were. That is why I say, Etevai Maithila Rajan, Atma Vidya Visharadaha. Yogeshwara Prasadena, because they had this special mercy. Yogeshwara Prasadena. Krishna's special mercy is there. What was that? Dvandvair Muktva. They were free from all dualities. They were all free from dualities, even though Griheshwabi, they were householders. Even though they were householders, they were all liberated souls. All of them. So, this speciality with this family, particular family, which were the Janaka, King Janaka, and many. There are many Janakas, but they are called, therefore they are called Videha. That means, they have no connection with the body. That's why, Deha means body. Videha means no connection with the body. All the kings in that dynasty, they were self-realized. Never in the bodily concept of life. All of them, one after the other. Of course, that dynasty comes to an end at the end of Solar dynasty, but important point is, they are called Videha for this reason. They have no deham, no body. Not in the bodily existence. Atma Vidya Visharada. And they were experts in the knowledge of the soul. So realized they were, Vedavyasa Maharshi sends his son Sukha Brahma Rishi to him to get instructed. To get instructed. Great, great rishis like Yajnavalkya, Ashtavakra, they were all permanently present in his palace, in Janaka Maharshi's palace, in Janaka, King Janaka's palace. Ashtavakra Gita was spoken there, in conversation with Janaka and Ashtavakra. So, like this you can see that this Mithila, from time immemorial, it was a place of learning, because of their presence. Banaras came later, Kashi. Banaras became popular much later. Prior to Benares, Mithila was the center of learning. Mithila was the center of learning. If you look back into the history, you will see from Ramayana times, Mithila was the center of learning. Benares came into existence much later. Nowadays, Benares is considered to be the center of learning among the scholars. All the shastrams and different philosophical discussions, everything happens there. So, this is a special recognition to the Mithila family, Janaka's family. Edevai Mithila Rajan, Alma Vidya Visharada, Yogeshwara Prasadena, Dondvair Muktva Griheshwabi. So, that is a special recognition given to that family, and that is what he is saying there. Therefore, when Ramachandra married Sita Devi, Dasharatha Maharaj was very happy that to have a relationship with a family like that. When we got there, that Videharaja, he had a younger brother called Kushadvaja, and Kushadvaja had two daughters. And then there was Urmila, and then there was Sita Devi. Sita Devi and Urmila was the daughter of the Videha king, and then another two more girls of the daughter of Kushadvaja. So there were four girls. So therefore, these four boys from Ayodhya went there, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, and they married those four girls, Sita Devi, Urmila, and the other two girls as well. So when this that means through marriage the Kshatriya kings established relationship between the royal families, isn't it? Nowadays there is no royal family in reality, isn't it? So it's just show. But in them days, because they rule the planet, these alliances were very important for them. And there is a lot of politics there also. If you read Ramayanam, you will see the politics that was going on there. This relationship between Ayodhya and Mithila was causing problem in Benares and causing problem in Kegayam. Kegayam means where Bharatamashi, Bharata king, Bharata and Shatrughna comes from there. It's a complex relationship. We have to discuss that later on sometime. That what all happened at that time, Sita Devi's role, Urmila's role in those relationships, they all had a big role to play in that. And while evaluating Ramayana, many, many great devotees have seen that the way Urmila has performed is somewhat in a better level than even Sita Devi in some instances. Because Sita Devi, we all study about Sita Devi. Sita Devi went with Ramachandra to the forest. So, but when Urmila didn't even ask Lakshmana whether she could accompany him, knowing very well the thoughts of Lakshmana's devotion to Ramachandra, and not to come on the way, Urmila decided to stay back. Urmila could have also said to go with them to the forest. Instead, Urmila decided to stay back. So, lot of things are spoken about Urmila and Sita Devi in the Ramayanam about those things. But here, this relationship was important for Ayodhya, for Dasharatha, to have this relationship with Mithila. So, Videha kings, they are by birth itself, they are liberated souls. And Ayodhya also in a similar way, in no way inferior to them. And therefore, their relationship has worked out very well. And the remembering about them itself is a very auspicious thing about this family of Mithila and Ayodhya. So, Dasharatha Maharaja goes there with all the queen, Kausalya, Kaikeyi, everybody. The marriage was performed and then they all come back. And while coming back to Ayodhya, that Ramachandra had another role to play there, that Parashuram was living there at that time. Parashuram was another incarnation of Ramachandra himself. But Sri Ramachandra decided that Parashurama need not stay here anymore. His role is over. His purpose is over. So at that time, there was a natural fight between Ramachandra and Parashuram there. And all the potency of Parashuram, Ramachandra takes on to himself. Vaishnava Kala, it mentions there. That means Parashuram has performed severe penances. All that austerities and penances taken from Parashuram and takes into himself. Ramachandra takes it to himself. And send Parashuram to perform penances again into the forest to Mahendra mountains. So After that, after taking away, Parashuram was a very powerful person. If you want to know Parashuram, that story will come later. Parashuram, what a powerful personality he was. And Ramachandra comes back to Ayodhya, and for 12 years, he says that he rules there in the Ayodhya. And after that, 12 years he stayed in Ayodhya, and after that, he had to go into the forest. And that is why you will see in the fifth canto what they talk about Ramachandra. Martyavatarasiha Martyashikshanam. That Sri Ramavataram was not for enjoying life in any way. That, or as a king, to enjoy the happiness of the royal life, but to teach human species how to live in this world. That is the purpose of Ramayanam. That is why we mentioned before also that Ramayanam is the authority on dharmam. Mahabharatam is not. Because to understand Mahabharatam, you need to have that certain level of realization. Whereas Ramayanam is perfect in instructions. Mahabharatam could be misleading sometimes if you don't understand it properly. There are so many things in the Mahabharatam which is very confusing to people. Therefore, generally Mahabharatam is not read, Ramayanam is read widely. And Ramayanam is spoken only for this purpose, Martyavatarasyaha Martyashikshanam. In the Bhagavatam you will see in the this Martyavataram, this appearance in the form of Ramachandra is only for the sake of Martya Shikshanam, to instruct the human species for that purpose. That is what it is spoken there. And in order to understand that, from the next two chapters are spoken. That Ramavataram and what Ramachandra's life has to taught this world, is to teach this world, all these things in the next two chapters, which will continue after break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakai davachandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna subanam varam jayade shri krishna sangeertanam nanamagari bhuda nija sarva shakti tatrapidardhi vidasmarane nakalam Edadrushitav Kripa Bhagavan Mamavi Dudaiva Medrashamihajani Nanuragaham Pranada Vishuni Jena Taravarabi Saheshtunam Ananina Manadena Kurtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Vachakadishakamayem Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavada Bhaktirahai Tugitvai Ayi nanda dalu jakingaram patidamam shame bhavam bodo rupayatava pada panga jastida duli sadrasham vichindaya ashishyava padaradam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya girappulagair nishidam gadavapu tavannam grahane bhavishyadim idam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam Shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe nami Ashlishya vapadaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karotuva Yathadadava tadatulambado Malpranamathastunayemanaparam
So, Ramayana in the Bhagavadam. The chapter 10 and 11 is Ramayana. These two chapters is basically Ramayana. Chapter 10 and chapter 11. So, we'll just read this first chapter and then we'll go into Ramayana little seriously. Dashame praha katvangavamshe shriram sambhavam na tacharitram chalangesham hatva ayodhya gamavadi. In Katvanga's family, in dynasty, Sri Ramachandra appeared, and after killing Ravana, his returning back to Ayodhya, up to that, is spoken in this 10th chapter. Appearance of Ramachandra and the Ramayanam up to the point after killing Ravana, getting back to Ayodhya. That is what is the 10th chapter about. Shri Shuka Vacham Gatva Angadirga Bahusha Ragustasmal Pradushrava Ajastado Maharaja Tasma Dasharado Bhaval Tasya Vibhagavanesham Sachal Brahma Mayohari Amsham Shena Chadurgal Putratvam Prartidasurehi Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrugnam Iti Samyaya Tasya Nijaridam Rajan Grishibis Tattva Darshibhi Shudam Hivarnidam Bhuri Tvaya Asidavadeer Moho Guru Varte Tekta Rajo Vijaradhanivanam Palpavadhyam Priyayam Panisparshatram Abhyam Rajapadirujo Yohari Indranijabhyam Vairupya Shurpanakhyam Priyavirahirusharobido Bhruvijumbam Trasabdhir Bhadda Sedu Khadadavadhanam Kosalendrovadannam Vishwamitra Dhureyana Marijadhyā Nishājara Pashyado Rakshmana Seivahatva Nairudha Pungavaha Yo Loga Veera Samido Dhanuraisha Mugram Sida Swayamvara Grihe Trishato Panidam Adaya Balaka Jalila Ivekshu Yashtim Sajikradam Nipavikrishya Bhabajya Madhye Jituani Rupa Gunashila Vayonga Rupam Sita Pidam Shri Murasya Bilabdhamanam Marge Vrajan Bhruguba Dervenayal Prarudham Darpam Mahimagradaya Strira Raja Bijam Yasatya Vasha Birivida Pidur Nidesham Straina Sejabishira Sajagrahe Sabhariam Rajam Shriyam Pranayina Sukhdo Nivasam Tektuaya Yovana Masuniva Mukta Sangaham Rakshasa Survigada Ruba Mashuddha Buddhi Tasya Karatrishira Trishira Dushana Mukhya Bandhun Jagne Chaturdasha Sahasrama Bharaniya Kodanda Vani Radamana Mavasa Krishram Sita Katha Shravana Deepita Hrishrayena Srishtam Viloka Nrupade Dashagandharena Jagni Albhude Tenaiva Bhushashramado Krakrishtvam Mari Jamashu Vishikena Yatha Kumugraham Rakshodhamena Vrgavadyubine Samaksham Vaideha Rajaduhidarya Bayabhidayam Bratravane Kripanaval Priyaya Vimuktam Stri Sanginam Gadimidi Prathayam Chachara Dagdhvalmakritya Havakritya Mahankabhandam Sakhyam Vidayakabhivirdaidagadim Thay Budhvadabhalinhade Plavagendra Sainyar Velamagalsam Anujoja Anujoja Ajabhavo Orchidangri Yadrosha Vibhrama Vivartakadakshabadam Sambhrandanakramagaro Bhayagirna Khosha Sindhu Shirasirhanam Parigrihyarubi Padaravindamubagamya Bhavashametal Natuavayam Jadadiyon Vidama Bhuman Kudastamadi Purusham Jagadam Adisham Yal Satvada Suragana Rajasa Prajesha Manyoscha Bhuta Pataya Sabhavan Gunesha Kamam Prayahi Jahi Vishravaso Ahameham Trailoki Ravana Mavapnuhi Virabatnim Badrihi Sedu Mihadesha So Vidate Gayandi Digvijaino Yamupetya Bhubaha Badhodhaduri Kubadir Vidhadri Kode Sedu Kabi Indra Karagambida Buruhangehi Sugriva Nila Hanumal Pramagira Niger Langam Vibhishanadasha Vishadagradadham Savanarendra Balarudda Vihara Koshtam Shridwara Gopira Sadovalabhi Vidanga Narbhajyamanadishanadu Jahema Kumbam Shangadaga Gachakuler Kradi Niva Kurnaha Rakshapadistadavalokya Nikumba Kumbra Dumracha Durmaga Suranda Narandaga Adin Putram Prakastamadikai Vikumbanadin Sarvanugan Samahinodhada Kumbhakarnam Tam Yadudanam, Pradanama Sishura Javam, Prasarti Shakti Jaradomara Gadgadurgam, Sugriva Lakshmana Marils to the Gandhamada, Nilanga Darcha, Manasadi Biranido Gal, Teni Gabari Gubadira Vivati Sarve, Dundum Marudam Ipapatira Tashayo, Tay, Jagnur Drumer, Girigadishubirangara, Dyam, Sida Bimarsha, Hadamangala Ravaneshan, Rechapadi Subalanashtima Vecherustamaruhi, Anakamathabisasari Ramam, Susyandane Dumadi Madalinobani Devi Brajamana Mahanam Nishidai Churapray Ramastamaha Burushada Burishayanam Kanda Samachamasadabakhda Shovelte Tekta Trabasyabalamadde Jugubsidasaya Chami Kalam Ivakatura Lankavi Idiaha Evam Shivandanushi Sandidamul Sasarjam Banam Savajramivadadayam Vibheda Sosrogamend Samukhaya Nabadadimana Deheri Jalpati Jane Sukhudi Variktaha
തതോനുഷ്ക്രമ്യലങ്കായം യാധുധാന്യ സഹസ്രശാ മണ്ഡോദര്യാസമം തസ്മിൻ പ്രതിദത്യമുപാദ്രവൻ സ്വാൻ സ്വാൻ ബന്ധുൻ പരിശുജ്യ ലക്ഷ്മണേഷു വിരർദ്ധിതാൻ ദുരിത് സ്വസുരം ദീനാഗ്നന്ദ്യം ആത്മാനമാത്മന ഹാഹദാസ്മവയം നാഥ ലോകരാവണ രാവണ കം യയാചരണം ലംഘ തദ്വിഹീന പരാർദ്ധിത നൈവം വേദ മഹാഭാഗാ ഭവാൻ കാമവശം ഗത തേജോനുഭാവം സീതായാം യേന നീതോ ദശാമിമാം കൃതേഷാവിധവാലങ്കാ വയം ച കുലനന്ദന ദേഹകൃതോന്നം കൃദ്രാണാമാത്മാ നരകഹേതവേ ശ്രീശുകവാച സ്വാനം വിഭീഷണശ്ചക്രേ കോസലേന്ദ്രാനുമോദിത പിതൃമേധ വിധാനേന ഇതുക്തം സാമ്പരായികം തതോ ദദർശ ഭഗവാൻ അശോകമനികാശ്രമേ ക്ഷാമാം സുവിരഹ വ്യാധിം ശിശംബാമൂലമാസ്തിതാം രാമപ്രിയനമാം ഭാര്യാം ദീനാം വീക്ഷാനുകമ്പതാം ആത്മസന്ദർശന ആഹ്ലാദ വികസൻ മുഖപങ്കജാം ആരോപ്യാരുഹേയാനം ഭ്രാതൃഭ്യം ഹനുമദ്യുത വിഭീഷണായ ഭഗവാൻ ദത്വാ രക്ഷോഗണേശതാം ലങ്കാമായിഷകൽപാന്തം യയൗ ചീർണവ്രതം പുരീം അവഗീര്യമാണ സുമേർ ലോകപാലാർപ്പിതൈ പഥി ഉപഗീയമാനചരിതം ശതധൃത്യാദിഭിർമുധ ഗോമൂത്രയാഗം ശ്രുത്വ ഭ്രാതരം വൽക്കല അംബരം മഹാകരുണികോദപ്യജടിലം സണ്ടിലേശയം ഭരതപ്രാപ്തമാകർണ്യം പൗരാ അമാത്യപുരോഹിതൈ പാതുകേ ശരസിന്യസ്യ രാമം പ്രത്യുദ്യുതോ അഗ്രജം നന്ദിഗ്രാമാൽ സുഷിവിരാൾ ഗീതവാദിത്ര നിസ്വനി ബ്രഹ്മഘോഷേണ ച മുഹു പടദ്ഭ്രഹ്മവാദിനി സ്വർണഗുക്ഷപതാകാഭിർ ഹേമയെ ചിത്രധ്വജൈ രഥൈ സദശ്വൈ രുക്മസന്നാഹൈർബണി പുരടവർമ്മഭി ശ്രേണീഭിർവാര മുഖ്യാഭിർവൃത്തിശൈവ പദാനുഗൈ പാരമേഷ്ടാന്യുപാദായ പണ്യാനുച്ഛാവജാനിജ പാദയോന്യവിതൽ പ്രേമ പ്രക്ലീന ഹൃദയേ അക്ഷണ പാദുകേന്യസ്യ വൃത പ്രാഞ്ജലിർ ബാഷ്മലോചന തമ്ളാ ശിഷ്യചിരം ദോർഭ്യാം സ്നാപയൻ നേത്രജയർ ജലൈ രാമോ ലക്ഷ്മണ സീതാഭ്യാം വിപ്രേഭ്യോ യോർഹ സത്തമ ദേഭ്യ സ്വയം നമശ്ചക്രൈ പ്രജാഭിശ്ച നമസ്കൃത ധുന്യുന്തമുത്തരാസംഗൻ പതിം വീക്ഷിച്ചിരാഗതം കുത്തരാ കോസലാമാലേ കിരന്തോ നന്ദോ മുദ പാദുകേ ഭരതോഗ്രഗ്ന ചാമരവ്യജനോത്തമേ വിഭീഷണ സുഗ്രീവ ശ്വേതചത്രം മരുൽ സ്തുത ധനുർനിഷംഗ ശത്രുഘ്ന സീത തീർത്ഥകമണ്ഡലം അഭിബ്രതംഗദം ഖഡ്ഗം ഹൈമം ചർമക്ഷരാൻ നൃപ പുഷ്പഹസ്തോ വിനുദസ്ത്രീവി സ്മൂയമാനശ്ച വാങ്ദിവി വിരേജ ഭഗവാൻ രാജൻ ഗ്രഹേന്ദ്രശ്ചന്ദ്ര വിവോധിത ഭ്രാതിഭിർനന്ദിത സ്വഭി സോത്സവം പ്രാവിശൽ പുരീം പ്രവീശ രാജഭവനം ഗുരുഭഗ്നി സ്വമാതരം ഗുരുന്മയസ്യാമരാജൻ പൂജിത പ്രത്യപൂജയൽ വൈദേഹീ ലക്ഷ്മണശ്ചൈവ യഥാവൽ സമുപേയതു പുത്രാൻ സമാദരസ്തു പ്രാണാംസ്തനമിവോധിത ആരോപ്യാംഗ്യഭിഷിജന്തു ബാഷ്പർഘേർ വിജഹുശുച ജഡ നിർമ്മിച്ച വിധികൾ കുലവൃദ്ധൈ സമം ഗുരു അഭ്യഷഞ്ജദ്യതൈവേന്ദ്രം ചതു സിന്ധുജലാധിപി ഏവം കൃതശിരസ്നാന സുവാസാസ്രഗ്വലങ്കൃത സ്വലങ്കൃതൈ സുവാസോഭിർ ഭ്രാതിഭിർഭാര്യയാ ബഭൗ അഗ്രഹീദാസനം ഭ്രാത്ര പ്രണിപത്യ പ്രസാദിത പ്രജാസ്വധർമ്മനിരത വർണ്ണാശ്രമഗുണാന്യുത ജുഗോപഭിർവദ്രാമോ മേനിരേ പിതരം ചതം ത്രേതായാം വർത്തമാനായാം കാലകൃത സമോഭവൽ രാമേ രാജനി ധർമ്മജ്ഞേ സർവഭൂതസുഖാവഹേ വനാനി നദ്യോഗിരയോ വർഷാണി ദ്വീപസിന്ധവാ സർവേ കാമധുഗാമാസൻ പ്രജാനാം ഭരതർഷഭ ആദിവ്യാധിജരാഗ്രാണി ദുഃഖശോഭയക്ലമ മൃത്യുശ്ചാനി ചതാംനാസീ രാമേ രാജന്യദോക്ഷജേ ഏകപത്നീ വ്രതതരോ രാജർഷിചരിത ശുചി സ്വധർമ്മം ഗൃഹമേദീയം ശിക്ഷയൻ സ്വയമാചരൽ പ്രേമാനുവൃത്യാശീലന പ്രശ്രയാമനദാസതി ധിയാഹ്രിയാജഭാവജ്ഞാ ഭർത്തു സീതാഹരന്മന ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നാമസ്കന്ദേ രാമചരിതേ ദശമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ഇൻ രാമായണം ആഫ്റ്റർ മാരിയിങ് സീതാദേവി ശ്രീരാമചന്ദ്ര കംസ് ടു അയോധ്യ ആൻഡ് ലിവിംഗ് ദ ഫോർ അബൌട്ട് 12 ഇയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദി ഇൻസിഡൻസ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഇസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദർ വൺസ് ഇറ്റ് സോ ഹാപ്പൻ ദാറ്റ് ദശരഥ കിങ് ദശരഥ had a dream. Valmiki indicates this in the Ramayana, that at that time, Dasharatha felt that, has the time come for me to die? A thought like that appeared in his mind. Valmiki Maharshi points out this in Ramayana, that according to the interpreting that dream, what he had in the night, Dasharatha felt the time has come to leave this world. And you could say that more or less he was getting old. Old age had come to him. In Ramayana, you will see at that time, he was around 50,000 years old. 50,000 years old. It's an amazing age, isn't it, when you think about that. He looks at the mirror and see himself that he's getting old. 50,000 years old. And those days, obviously, they had such a long span of life.
So when he is 50,000 years old, Dasharatha started thinking, am I getting old? Getting old. So so he had this desire, Rama should become the king. Wanted to install Rama on the throne. And wanted to see that Rama is the king. So he decided that, let me get Ramchandra installed as the king straight away. Immediately he called Vasishtha Maharshi and told him to look for a proper auspicious time for the installation. And when they looked at it, Vasishtha felt that there was an auspicious day very next day itself. Was auspicious for the installation ceremony. And it was at that time, Bharata and Shatrughna is going to Kegaya kingdom to see their uncle there. They come from Kegaya family. So they didn't know that all these things was happening suddenly. And they didn't have any problem, Ramachandra becoming the king. And they thought that, Dasharatha Maharaj thought that they should come back before the installation, at least they should be present there while being installed. There's a lot of politics there also that is not spoken in the Bhagavatam and all that. That this relationship between Ayodhya and Kegaya was also not very good. Even though Bharata and Shatrughna comes from there, this is their uncle's home, Kegaya family, because of the marriage through Kaikeyi it has happened. But among the kings there was a lot of political dealings as well, which was quite natural among the Kshatriyas those days. So it seems that Kaikeyi misunderstood the whole situation. That Dasharatha Maharaj wanted to install Ramchandra as the king the very next day, and he was organizing everything on that basis, wanted to invite all the kings to come immediately, and had to inform everyone on that basis, and also organize everything for the ceremony, what was required. And invited Ramachandra and wanted to talk to him about this as well. And by now, the day before the installation, it's almost late in the evening, about 9-10 o'clock in the night. And Dasharatha Maharaj, King Dasharatha had the meeting everything over and has come back to the palace. Whose palace? Kaikeyi's palace. He's come to Kaikeyi's palace. So those days Dasharatha was living with Kaikeyi there. So when he got there, Kaikeyi has in a completely different mood. Saw Kaikeyi's nature. Kaikeyi has completely changed herself. That she was Krodhagara Pravishtam. It says Krodhagaram. In them days, when the wives get upset with the husband, they have a separate place to go and stay till they come out of there. Nowadays we fight and sort it out straight away. But they were a little bit more intelligent than today, that when there was a fight, they will move away from the scene if they are feeling that. Because you can see that when do we get angry? When do we fight? All these are the modes of nature changing in us, isn't it? Fighting means tamogunam. Tamogunam, if you see a lot of destruction in the world, wars gone, battles going on, more or less you can take it that tamogunam is very prominent in that places. It is from there. Tamogunam, this is a habit of tamogunam. Tamogunam creates this situation. So, suppose Vivekananda Swami says this, when you are in feeling that surge of tamogunam inside, best thing is to stay away from others rather than infecting everybody with that tamogunam inside, what we have got. So that was a system that wives, they used to move away from the scene and stay separately, also to show their the way of protest. It was like that. They stayed away from the front of the husband. So Krodhagaram, it is called Krodhagaram. Krodhagaram means you get angry and then it's a place where you stay when you are angry. So and if you get angry, you go and sit in that room. Don't come out and show your anger to the rest of the world. So, and in that case, the king will go there inquiring about why she is upset and try to pacify her, all those things. So when he got there, Dasharatha saw that Kaikeyi has gone into Krodhagaram, to that special apartment, and was sitting there. So when Dasharatha got inside, he could see that Kaikeyi was in a real bad mood. That she was, he went to Kaikeyi and started speaking to Kaikeyi to pacify her from her anger. Everything the Sharada did like a good husband, and asked the Kaikeyi that the day before this installation of Ramachandra, why a scene like this? The Sharada was looking forward to that, wanted to install Ramachandra on the throne and have a peaceful exit from this world. He was looking forward to that. But Kaikeyi has upset the whole thing. The Sharada thought that Kaikeyi must have some desire. Then maybe that she wants to... Because till then, the Sharada never felt that Kaikeyi was always very fond of Ramachandra and never shown any kind of ill feeling towards Ramachandra till then. It was at that time, the Sharada thought that the Sharada never felt in his heart that the Kaikeyi carried any kind of ill feelings towards Ramachandra. So, what Kaikeyi is going to say now, even in the dreams, Dasharatha has never expected that to happen. So, Dasharatha took this vow that told Kaikeyi, you can say whatever you want, I will accept that and listen to whatever you instruct me to do that, and I will fulfill your desires. So, all these things, Mandara has trained Kaikeyi in advance. Mandara has trained Kaikeyi in advance. Therefore, she has trained him so well that Kaikeyi was able to act perfectly in front of Dasharatha. Nothing has gone wrong in her role, what she played. So, Kaikeyi got up and tears were coming from her eyes, and says to Dasharatha that you have promised me two boons before, long ago, and you have to give it to me now. He said, so Dasharatha says, ask me what is that. First one, 14 years, Ramachandra had to go to the forest. And secondly, Bharata has to be installed as the king on the throne. So as soon as Dasharatha heard this, it's just like as though a thunder or lightning had struck him. And he collapsed there, on the spot. He collapsed there. Kaikeyi, he never expected such a thing from Kaikeyi to say like this. And in reality, Kaikeyi has shown more affection for Ramachandra than even more than Kausalya herself. Kausalya, being the mother, hasn't shown the affection what Kaikeyi has shown to Ramachandra. So this was a completely new experience for Dasharatha. So, I never expected that Kaikeyi will speak like this, that Ramachandra had to go to the forest. So, after a while, Dasharatha comes to his consciousness, and he got up, and he says to Kaikeyi, am I dreaming something, what you have spoken? So, is this proper for you to say like this? Kaikeyi says, it's not a dream. Because my son should become the king. Bharata should become the king. And you have thought that you can get rid of all of us. And with Kausalya and Ramachandra, you can live happily in the kingdom, haven't you? In this way, Kaikeyi started speaking in a very rude way to Dasharatha. That's not going to happen. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to starve myself to death. Kaikeyi put all her conditions to Dasharatha. And Dasharatha also, that Dasharatha was told that if you don't honor your words, the whole world will think that Dasharatha was not a truthful person. And for a Kshatriya, nothing worse than that, to be spoken in that way, not holding on to the words. So again, Dasharatha was feeling very unhappy and fell unconscious. So, he tried very hard to please Kaikeyi, but Kaikeyi won't relent for that. So, Kaikeyi was insisting that, and that night went off like that. Next morning, it was decided that Ramachandra will be installed on the throne. Vasishtha has organized all the ingredients necessary for the installation, and he has come fully prepared to conduct the installation ceremony. Ramachandra also, after bathing in the morning and finishing all his morning duties, he has waiting for Dasharatha to come, and whole Ayodhya was in in a very festival mood to celebrate the installation of Ramachandra. But when they looked, Dasharatha is not seen anywhere. Dasharatha is lying fully half conscious in Kaikeyi's palace. So Vasishtha goes there in Kaikeyi's palace looking for Dasharatha. When he got there, he couldn't see Dasharatha directly because he was with Kaikeyi. So the minister was there, Sumantra was there, and Sumantra says to Vasishtha, the king does not want to see anybody at the moment, and Ramachandra, I would like to see Ramachandra directly. So here, Vasishtha goes back and then informs Ramachandra about the decision, what has happened here with Dasharatha and Kaikeyi. So Kausalya, in her palace, she has waken up in the morning, early hours in the morning, and she has her own spiritual duties in the morning to perform. She has done all that, and she is naturally a mother, and her son is going to be the next king. Naturally, she has a lot of anxiety about that. So she wanted everything to go in a very smooth way. She wanted to perform so many yagam, homam, charity, japam, so many things, all spiritual, auspicious activities she has performed. And in order that Ramchandra is installed and have a comfortable and trouble-free life for him. It is at that time that this message came through Vasishtha that Ramchandra is immediately required, Dasharatha wants to speak to him. So Ramchandra walks very freely, fully relaxed, goes to the palace and walks to see Dasharatha there. And when he got there, what happened there, when Ramachandra got there, that scene has touched Shukha Brahmarshi. And Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken about that in the Bhagavatam. Story is all very limited, but certain scenes in the Ramayanam, what affected Shukha Brahmarshi, he has picked up and he has spoken on that. So that is the scene mainly he has spoken in the Bhagavatam. You can see there in the 10th chapter, if you look, the 8th verse. Yasatya vasha parivida pidurnidesham strainasya jabishirasa jagahe sabharyaha rajyam shriyam pranayina sukhado nivasam tektuayayo vanamasuniva mukta sangaham. So, how Ramachandra was caught up in this confusion there. What was happening there? Then Dasharatha, because of Kaikeyi's this commitment to Kaikeyi, he is bound. Because of the commitment, he is bound. Bound with what? With the rope of truth. Dasharatha won't like to break his commitment because he is so truthful person. If he has given a word, he will honor the word. That is Dasharatha. All Kshatriyas generally give a lot of value to their words, what they speak. Once they have given a word, they will hold that word. So that's exactly what he's saying there, that he is bound because he has given this commitment to Kaikeyi before, so therefore he can't do anything about it now, because he has given the word to Kaikeyi. Otherwise, he could have actually broken that if he wanted to. Nobody is going to do anything about it. But because he gave the word to Kaikeyi before, way back, that these two boons, therefore Kaikeyi is asked for that, and that is one, is that, first thing is that Bharata should be, one is Bharata should be installed on the throne, secondly for 14 years Ramchandra should be away from in the forest. So, both these things was very heartbreaking for Dasharatha, but at the same time, he cannot give up his commitment, what he has given to him. So that is why he says there, Satyasarubam, that he mentions there in that verse, you see? That is what Shubham is saying. Yam Satyabhasham. Satyabhasham means this rope which is binding Dasharatha with the rope of truthfulness. Rope of truthfulness. And at the same time, his other problem is to stay away from Ramachandra. Because Ramachandra is Satyasarubam, isn't it? He is Satyam. That is also another pasham, another bondage. Bondage there towards Dasharatha's bondage towards Ramachandra. Ramachandra is absolute truth personified. So freeing from Ramachandra also is troublesome. So either you have to give up truthfulness or you have to give up Ramachandra. This was the situation. What should I do? This situation is lying there. Valmiki says here, a situation the way Dasharatha was lying there, nobody in Ayodhya has seen a scene like this before. A situation like this before. Sri Ramachandra has not seen this before. And Dasharatha lying on the floor, completely affected by this situation. What to do in a crisis? How to come out of this difficulty? So, and when he looked, Kaikeyi was satisfied now, because Kaikeyi has done her part, what she had to do. And what did Ramachandra do first thing? He went to Kaikeyi first and paid his obeisances to her. Ramachandra asked Kaikeyi, what happened to father? What happened to Dasharatha? Why is he crying like this? So Kaikeyi says to Ramachandra, there is nothing serious, he says, that your father is not very strong in his mind, he's very weak minded. Very quickly he gets disturbed. So only you can help him now. Kaikeyi changes the whole scene in a different way. So if I tell you that, will you be unhappy about it? If I say that, do one thing, go and hold on to Dasharatha's feet and say to him that whatever that Dasharatha wants, it will be done. Just give this commitment to Dasharatha, says to Kaikeyi to Ramachandra. So all these things have been engineered very well by Mandara. So expert in all these things, she has very well engineered everything from behind, and therefore nothing has gone wrong. Ramachandra goes to Dasharatha and says to him that you don't have to have any doubt, because Dasharatha was finding it difficult to say this to Ramachandra. And so when he heard the plan, that this is what is expected from him, he goes to Dasharatha and says to him, I am willing to do anything what is required to please you. If you want me to go and jump into the Sarayu river and commit suicide, even I am prepared for that. But there is nothing that I cannot do to please you. But I don't want to see you crying like this. Ramachandra says this to Dasharatha. And tell me what you want and I will make sure that it will happen. So this relationship is very difficult to understand between Dasharatha and Ramachandra also. Ramachandra is thinking inside that this responsibility of administration of kingdom, if I can escape from this, how fortunate I will be. He is looking for salsangam with the rishis in the forest. You will see in Ramayana how many rishis he met throughout this 14 years. It was a whole period of salsangam, discussion about the truth. Many, many great personalities, all of them, Bharadwaja Maharshi, beginning with Agastya, and so many others you will see in Chitrakudam also. Let the responsibility with Bharata, let Bharata have the headache of the administration, he says. Then he says, seeing, getting the association of the rishis in the forest particularly is very good. So 14 years, if I have to live in the forest, means 14 years of salsangam for Ramachandra. That is how Ramachandra is thinking about it. Actually, he is thinking, Kaikeyi is doing me a great favor. No responsibility, in the forest, associating with the great rishis for 14 years. This is how Ramachandra saw this. He says like that. So, and when he mentioned this to Ramachandra, Ramachandra was thinking, Dasharatha was thinking that probably Ramachandra will protest very strongly. that he may not like to go. But it is exactly the opposite way it has come back from Ramachandra. So, then as quickly as possible, make arrangements to go to the forest. So, Ramachandra decided, I'll go and ask for permission from Kausalya, Sumitra and many others. And so he goes to Kausalya's palace. And those incidents, when Ramachandra goes to see Kausalya, Kausalya is busy with her deity worship and performing her spiritual duties in the morning. And she has the flowers in the hand, she is chanting the various mantras and confirming the worship there. It is at that time, Ramachandra walks into the palace straight away. Kausalya asks her, why have you come? He says, Kausalya meanwhile heard that Dasharatha hasn't arrived at the assembly yet. But still, Kausalya was in a little anxiety, why Dasharatha hasn't come. So, at that time, Sri Ramachandra talks to Kausalya about the plan. And while saying this, Valmiki says some words about Ramachandra, how he appeared. Sumukha, he was smiling, as well as there was not even a slightest trace of unhappiness in the face. That is Ramachandra. If we lose a little promotion in the office, which we know is nothing valuable, how for months together, how our face will be in the office if you work with many others. Suppose due to office politics, they promoted somebody as a boss and he becomes a boss, then everybody else, if you look at others' faces in the office, you will see it all look as though that's the end of life. You see, in the office it happens all the time. In all offices it happens. Here, Ramachandra's position as the king of Ayodhya, that has been taken off from him and given to somebody. Ramachandra is smiling, feeling happy about the whole thing. That's what he's saying here. So, he says to Kausalya that my father, Dasharatha's decision, father's decision is that 14 years I have to go and live in the forest and Bharata has to become the king, and therefore you should offer all respects to Bharata. Ramachandra says to Kausalya. So for, as soon as Ramachandra mentioned all these things to Kausalya, Kausalya collapsed there, seeing that what's going on here. See, you can see that. But immediately Ramachandra took care of her, sprinkled some water on his face, on her face, and Kausalya started asking Ramachandra, why all these changes have happened? Some strong decisions. And she started thinking, she hasn't even slept the night before, thinking about this ceremony of installation ceremony. And why did you say that? Why she is insisting that you have to go to the forest? What for? So Ramachandra says to Kausalya that is the decision of the father and it is not a dream. I have to go to the forest. And Kausalya collapsed again. So when she came back from her unconscious state, she says to Ramachandra, don't go. Don't go to the forest. Father is very, very old now. He's getting old. You should look after him. Or otherwise you should stay here and look after your mother. I'm also getting old. In this way, why have you taken this decision to go to the forest? There was a lot of discussion between Kausalya and Ramachandra in the Valmiki's Ramayanam. Eventually, Kausalya agrees for that. And Ramachandra convinced Kausalya that as the son of Dasharatha, his first duty is to follow the instructions given by Dasharatha. And that is your duty as well, and says to Kausalya in that way. And to know that what is actually the desire of Dasharatha, and that should be followed by Kausalya as well as Ramachandra. So therefore, you should bless me to go to the forest. And saying that, Ramachandra fell at Kausalya Devi's feet and asked for her blessings. So Kausalya Devi blessed Ramachandra with both the hands and allowed him to go. So two chapters in Valmiki Ramayanam is all these blessings from Kausalya to Sri Ramachandra. Kausalya Devi's blessings to Ramachandra is whole two chapters in the Ramayanam. So he says that Ramachandra, one of the things what Kausalya Devi says there is that if my worship of the different deities all these years, if they are pleased with my worship, and even if they have little bit pleased with my bhakti in the heart, and if there is any results from my pious activities, this 14 years what you have to spend in the forest, let that be go in 14, like 14 seconds. Let that go away so fast. Finish that and come back. Ramachandra was told by Kausalya Devi and blessed her. When all these things were happening, Lakshmana is looking at the whole scene. Lakshmana couldn't bear any of these things, what goes on there. And he got really upset. And Lakshmana said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with Ramachandra. That was that relationship with Lakshmana and Ramachandra. You have to see, it's a lot of interesting things in Ramayana. When you start studying Ramayana, you see how very, very refined, cultured behavior among the brothers, which you won't observe anymore. Here, in the modern world, brothers' relationship is over by 40. Once you get married, everything is broken after that. There can't be any relationship anymore. It looks like that. It's not possible. He goes his way, I go my way. And the highway, open to all. It's a situation here. But look at these four brothers, what that relationship was. Lakshmana says to them that, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to leave now. And and he says to Dasharatha, Lakshmana turns around and says to Dasharatha, that I'll go and finish up all these people who once made this decision to change in this way, including Kaikeyi and others, everyone. He says, Adishesha, isn't it? Lakshmana is Adishesha. So, and I'll make sure that Ramachandra is installed as the king. And he is waiting for the instruction. Ramachandra says to him, to Lakshmana, don't get upset. Be peaceful about everything, he says. You will see in so many instances in Ramayanam, Ramachandra had to do this with Lakshmana. And you will see the effect of that, what happens later. So he pacified Lakshmana like this. Meanwhile, Sita Devi is also ready to go to the forest. Ramchandra is going, Lakshmana wants to go, Sita Devi is also ready to go. And so Ramchandra mentions to Sita Devi, it's not going to be comfortable in the forest. You won't feel all the comforts what you have in the palace here. You won't have it there. But Sita Devi says, that's my duty to follow you. I'm going to the forest. In this way, Sita, Lakshmana and Ramachandra are ready to go, and we are seeing all three of them ready to leave the palace of Dasharatha, and all three of them fell at Dasharatha's feet and paid their respects to Dasharatha first. They didn't speak anything, nothing. Dasharatha didn't speak one word at that time because he couldn't speak anything, seeing this, how situation developed the very next day after the decision was made for the installation. So, he was feeling most of his difficulty was being separated from Ramachandra. There was such a close attachment towards him. But, whether to give up the truth or give up Ramachandra, this was bothering in his mind. So, he couldn't do either of them. And he was feeling so upset, tears were coming from his eyes. Ramachandra put his hand on Dasharatha's feet and put it on his head. And while leaving, Kaikeyi brings some clothes suitable for wearing in the forest and gives it to Sita Devi and also to Ramachandra, says to her, says to them that these are special clothes for the forest. They will be of use to you. So I kept it for you. You can take this with you, he says. You could see that in the Shukabrahma, she is not very happy about that, Kaikeyi's actions. So in the Ramayana, what he did was, if you look there in the fifth canto, you will see this coming out in a different way. He says here, if you look at that,
Martyavatara Siha Martya Shikshanam.
If you look at the 519.5, is Ramachandra having any problem? That is what he is saying here. So, after saying this in the 5th canto, in the 9th canto, Shivabrahmarshi says this about Ramachandra. He's very careful. You may think that how Shivabrahmarshi is evaluating Ramachandra like this. See that?
Martyavatara Siha Martya Shikshanam. Rekshobadhayayvana kevalam vibho kudonyadasya dramadaswam alpana sita akradani vesanani ishwarasya.
This whole way Ramachandra behaved at that time, in Shukabrahmarshi's opinion, is this. A man, or the other way also, opposite way also, if you get attached to the wife. Similarly, if a wife, you get attached to the husband in the same way, you could expect a lot of problems in this life. An important lesson in the Ramayana. That is, but in all these things, Ramachandra is not affected. Why did he do all these things? To teach us. This appearance of Ramachandra is purely for training the human society. That's what he's saying here. Martyavatarasyaha Martya Shikshanam. This Martyavataram, this human form Krishna has accepted as Ramachandra, is for this purpose, Martya Shikshanam, to train the human species. Rekshovadhayayvana kevalam vibho. Killing all these rakshasas also in the same way. Kudonya dosyaldramada swana alpana sita akridani vesanani ishwarasya. When Sita Devi was kidnapped, Sita Akradani Vesanani Ishwarasya, Ishwara Supreme Lord, can he get affected by distress? How can there be any distress for the Supreme Lord, Ramachandra? How can that happen? But we have to understand that, but Ramachandra appeared very distressed when Sita Devi was kidnapped, isn't it? He was wandering around in the forest looking for Sita Devi and crying. Ramayana Valmiki says there. Shivabrahmarshi is saying here, for that absolute truth who has come as Ramachandra here, what distress can he have? Because he is always established in the truth, isn't it? What does that mean? One who is realized who is Atma all the time, how can there be hankering, lamentation in a person like that? So, these are only to show to us that in human body, if you are not realized the truth, these problems will be there. Sita akradani vesanani ishwarasya. So therefore, that is how he has spoken there. And it is based on that here also, he is saying that martyavadarasya martya shikshanam. Human being, for one's own selfishness, they will do anything, isn't it? So, from the palace, Ayodhya, in palace, from Dasharatha's palace, Sita, Lakshmana and Ramachandra, they left to the forest. And in the forest, in the palace, they were all very much distressed about that. Valmiki says that normally in the palace there is always music going on. Veena, Venu and Mridangam. And all these things are played. And always it was a place of happiness. Ayodhya palace was always a place of happiness. And now it has completely changed. The whole scenario has changed. Sumantra has brought the chariot, all three of them to leave. They got into the chariot. And so they got into the chariot. And Ramachandra was thinking, what a golden opportunity to come out from here. What's the necessity? And they were thinking, what is the point in going to the forest? What is going to happen? Because not only Dasharatha, all the Ayodhya Vasis, the people who lived in Ayodhya, they had such an affection and respect and attachment for Ramachandra, they couldn't see him leaving Ayodhya. And they were saying that what is the new point in staying in Ayodhya without Ramachandra? To that extent, they had a relationship with him. So many people decided to travel with them together. So Dasharatha, when he heard that, as soon as he heard that, he that Ramchandra had left, immediately Dasharatha has gone a little uncontrolled. Funny, in his mind, he started running after the chariot. He says to Ramachandra, even if my tooth is broken, word is broken, please don't go to the forest. And Dasharatha was begging this to Ramachandra. But as soon as he heard this, Sumantra stopped the chariot, and Ramachandra says to Sumantra, don't stop the chariot, leave now. And my father is not in his full senses. He is speaking completely in a uncontrolled state. So he's saying that I shouldn't go to the forest, but my responsibility that he has given this word, I have to honor that word. Saying that, so he told Sumantra to drive the chariot, and they left. Otherwise, Sumantra would have stopped the chariot, and he may not have gone to the forest either. But when Ramachandra instructed Sumantra to drive the chariot, he did. So they drove the chariot, they arrived at Ganga River, and they stayed that night there. Next day, in the morning, Guha brought the chariot, and they crossed the Ganga River to the other side, and they reached Bharadwaja's ashram. Bharadwaja Maharshi instructed them to stay there for some time, and they built one Parnashala, that means a cottage-like thing, and with Lakshmana and Sita Devi together, Ramchandra stayed there for some time. And this is all a simple way, in a few words, Shuka Brahmarshi goes through all these part of Ramayanam. And Sri Ramachandra then goes to Chitragodam, and it was when he was in Chitragodam, that is when Dasharatha left his body in Ayodhya. And then after that, there were so many rituals, ceremonies associated with that. Bharata performed all those ceremonies, and then he comes to see Ramachandra in Chitragodam. So, and he wanted Ramachandra to come back to take up the administration. So, Ramachandra says to Bharata, that is not possible because my father's decision, Dasharatha's desire is that 14 years I should spend in the forest and then come back to Ayodhya, and I will come back after 14 years. So, you should take control of the administration then. And Bharata was instructed, and in order to please Bharata was not happy about that decision. The reason why Kaikeyi insisted about 14 years is, the rule in those days was, if 14 years you have got a position, then nobody can dethrone from you, from that position. That's the reason this 14 years was insisted by Kaikeyi. So, seeing Bharata was not at all interested in that position of the king of Ayodhya, he wanted Ramchandra, actually deserves that position. He wanted Ramchandra to be installed on the throne, like Lakshmana. All the three brothers were like that, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. But because the situation developed in this way, and Bharata kept on requesting Ramchandra to come back, Ramchandra says to him that I will hand over my shoes to you, take this with you, and keeping them, you can continue with the administration. Bharata goes back with the shoes in the hand. 14 years he conducted this administration, and 12 years he spent in the Chitragodam. And there also, there were some problems. It is at that time they moved on to Panchavati from Chitragodam. And Godavari River, all these things they were enjoying. Who Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi were passing through all these places. You will see in Ramayanam long description of the different places they were travelling, their beauty and the way they were enjoying with the association of the rishis and the sages, spiritual discussions. So, Parnashala, in Godavari River bank, Lakshmana has built one Parnashala, a cottage for them to stay, and it is there that they got introduced to Jadayu. And Jadayu was an old friend of Dasharatha. And they made contact there. And it is at that time that Shurpanaka comes there, Ravana's sister. Shurpanaka was looking for a good husband for her. She was looking for a husband. And when Shurpanaka came there, what happened was, in a battle before, Somehow or the other, by mistake, Ravana killed Shurpanaka's husband. That's how it happened. So Ravana, then Shurpanaka was in terrible distress, and Ravana says to Shurpanaka that Shurpanaka goes to Ravana that what you have done is that you have killed my husband. So either you find a good husband for me, otherwise you marry me. Shurpanaka says to Ravana. So actually Ravana has failed only to one person in this world, that is Shurpanaka. Shurpanaka is the only person with whom Ravana couldn't never say no. So somehow or the other, to get rid of Shurpanaka from there, what Ravana did was, he told her, you will have the help of these 14,000 Rakshasas. A huge army of Rakshasas was given to them. And you can search for anybody in this whole creation and find him and marry him. I won't have, and if they are not willing to marry him, you can use this army of 14,000 people to fight with them and make them to agree. And Dharadhushana Trishirasa, the three demons, they're also there. And she was wandering around with all of them in the forest. But till now, she couldn't find anyone whom she would like to marry. But when she saw Ramachandra, she decided that this is the person I should be marrying. And Valmiki describes Ramachandra in the Ramayanam in such a way that how Shurpanaka gets attracted to Ramachandra to marry. And side by side, Shurpanaka's ugliness and Ramachandra's beauty, in the same verse he puts in, Valmiki puts in there. Half of the verse is Shurpanaka, how ugly Shurpanaka is, and half the verse is how beautiful Ramachandra is. So, in that Shurpanaka, when she saw Ramachandra, she says there that Shurpanaka is thinking, Ramachandra is the right match for me. Shurpanaka decided like this. But Valmiki is saying that looking at the verse, you can see that Valmiki doesn't agree. That's the way the verse is constructed. Half the verse saying how ugly Shurpanaka is, and half the verse is saying how beautiful Ramchandra is. And Shurpanaka says that, look at Shurpanaka, she thinks Ramchandra is the most ideal husband for me. So, she doesn't want anybody else, a mediation between Ramchandra and Shurpanaka. Shurpanaka went straight to Ramchandra and says to him, so there Sita Devi sitting there with Ramchandra, and Lakshmana was standing next there with the bow and arrow in the hand, as the servant of Ramchandra, he was standing there. Shurpanaka says to Ramchandra, says to him that I am Ravana's sister. And my name is Shurpanaka, and I can see that you are the ideal husband for me. Without any shame, he spoke like this, and no joking or anything, and so you should marry me. Put forward the proposal straight away to him. One thing you will notice, unlike in Krishnavataram, in Ramavataram, everything is very serious, no joke anywhere. Ramachandra is not a person who jokes. For Krishna, everything is a joke. He doesn't take anything seriously, isn't it? From beginning to end, if you look Krishnavataram and Ramavataram, the differences. In Ramavataram, everything is very serious. You will never see Ramachandra joking about anything with anybody. Everything is very serious and everything top-notch situation. Whereas Krishnavataram is completely opposite. Everything is very serious. So even if very serious things happen, you will never hear Ramachandra singing a song, or, you know, sometimes people, when they are in a happy mood, sing a song. Ramachandra has no time to sing a song even. So serious he is. So, always serious. So when he saw Shurpanaka like this, with this request, first time, Sri Ramachandra felt some funny. This is funny, he thought. He said that, first of all, sitting with Sita Devi there, Shurpanaka comes and says to him, you should marry me. He says, so Rama says to him, I would be very happy to marry you, but what can I do? Sita is there with me. I'm already married to Sita Devi. And what will happen to her? She will not be very happy about that. So, and if after I, since I'm married to Sita Devi, and you are Ravana's sister, and suppose later on, after marriage, if you feel that I am attached to Sita Devi, and I'm not giving you enough attention, and you fall into distress, that won't be very nice. Ramchandra is joking with her. So, plus, my brother is standing there. He's not married. He says, why don't you go to him? And he will like, he has to get married. Why don't you marry him? Says, Shurpanaya says, alright, that's no problem. If you do not, Ramchandra, Lakshmana is enough for me. So she goes to Lakshmana. Lakshmana asked her, what have you come here for? Lakshmana says, Ramchandra had sent me here. She says, he had sent me here and he wants you to marry me. Shurpanaya says this to Lakshmana. And when Shurpanaya said this, that a Rakshasa woman, first of all, and talking to you and right in the front of your face to marry her, Lakshmana didn't very much like it. He got so angry. And Lakshmana says to her, I will marry you, I have no objection to that, but you shouldn't cry later on, because I am his servant, Ramchandra's servant. And if I marry you, you will become Sita Devi's servant. If you are agreeing for that, I have no objection to marry her. And if it is like that, I can marry you. Lakshmana puts this condition to Shurpanaya. Shurpanaya says that that's not possible. I don't want to be servant of Sita Devi and all that. I will marry Ramchandra or you, and I'll be your wife or Ramchandra's wife. Immediately she goes back to Ramchandra again and says to Ramchandra that between Ramchandra and Lakshmana, they played this game with Shurpanaya, sending her here and sending her back, sending her again here. So Shurpanaya got angry with all these things. She's a Rakshasa woman, isn't it? So she thought that because of Sita Devi, Ramchandra is not marrying me, isn't it? So Shurpanaya immediately changed her form. Rakshasas have got all these powers of Maya, like Pudana and all. They can change their form when they want. They change their form. And she decided to kill Sita Devi at that point. So Shurpanaya opens her mouth and wanted to eat Sita Devi inside, wanted to take her in her. So Lakshmana knew these things. Lakshmana knew what is going to happen. And Lakshmana knew what has to be done. Shurpanaya decided to eat Sita Devi and jumped onto her. Immediately, from the side, Lakshmana put the sword and cut her. And in that process, the whole body became flattened. That means the nose is gone, the breast is gone, everything was cut off. Shurpanaya got severe pain from the way Lakshmana did that. And so and she started crying very loudly. And not only that, they went straight to the three brothers, Karadushana, Trishirasa, up to them. And immediately there was a big fight, and Ramachandra killed all these 14,000 Rakshasas and all the other Rakshasas who came there. And Ravana cared. Ravana, then Shurpanaya goes back to Ravana and reports to Ravana about this whole incident, what happened with Ramchandra and Lakshmana, and told Ravana about Sita Devi to him. When Ravana heard that, Ravana wanted to have Sita Devi. And for that he started making the plans. With the help of Maricha, he came to the ashram and he told Maricha to help him to bring Rama and Lakshmana away from the ashram. In that way he could kidnap or abduct her from the ashram. So Ravana was prepared for all these things. And Maharaja says to Ravana that don't fight with Ramachandra, because he already had a previous experience. When Vishwamitra was performing that yagam, Maharaja was there with Subahu. Subahu was killed there. Maharaja was not killed. So Maharaja already knew Ramachandra's power. of using the weapons. And so that previous experience, Maharija has not forgotten. And Maharija says to Ravana, I have experienced Ramachandra's fighting power before, and don't go against them, you will be in serious trouble. Ravana got upset with Maharija. So, it is at that time, Ravana had this powerful sword called Chandrahasam, which was given to him by Lord Shiva. He took the Chandrahasam and wanted to kill Maharija there. So Maharija was in a dilemma, whether to get killed by Ravana or whether to kill by Rama. Ultimately he decided it's better to get killed by Rama than Ravana. So that is how he decided to agree with Ravana. So he decided that Rama Lakshmana, he managed to get Ramachandra and Lakshmana away from the ashram. And there he had to cry. He took the form of a deer. And in the forest he was crying, Ha Rama Lakshmana, like that. He was crying, and Sita Devi heard this. Sita Devi first wanted that beautiful deer to bring her to the deer to the ashram. So Ramachandra started going after the deer, and the deer kept running. Ramachandra chased. After a while, they heard the sound from the forest coming, calling for Lakshmana's head. And then Lakshmana knew that there will be no problem with Ramachandra. But Sita Devi told Lakshmana to go and find out what has happened to Ramachandra. Lakshmana knew that Lakshmana has been specifically told not to leave Sita Devi alone in the forest. But in spite of that, Sita Devi insisted that Lakshmana should go and look for Ramachandra in the forest. But Lakshmana kept talking to Sita Devi that Ramachandra is capable of looking after himself. At that time, Sita Devi changed her attitude towards Lakshmana. Sita Devi says to Lakshmana that you want Ramachandra to be killed so that you can take me with you and enjoy your life. That is what you are planning. In this way, Sita Devi abused Lakshmana so badly that Lakshmana couldn't stay. Lakshmana had to go. Lakshmana went into the forest. Lakshmana goes to the forest and he says there that after he went to the forest, you can see what happened, that Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana. So that is why in that verses you will see in the fifth canto, when talking about Martyavatar 5:19:5. Martyavatarastuha Martya Shikshanam Reshovathaya Ivana Kevalam Vipho Kudonyadasya Dramadasama Alpana Sita Kridani Vesanan Ishwarasya. Sita Kridani Vesanan Ishwarasya. So here, what he is saying here is, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us, Bhavatavyam Bhavateva, means that these things will happen in life. Completely in a different way, things will develop in life. And human nature will come out in certain times in a particular way. Like the way Sita Devi acted at that time towards Lakshmana. And Lakshmana was really hurt. He has not even thought about such a thing in his mind. But Sita Devi, in order to get her desire to get Lakshmana out looking for Ramachandra, she used such harsh words to Lakshmana. And whether it is Sri Ramachandra or it is Sita Devi, if you take a human form in this world, you have to cry here. That is what Ramayana is saying to us. Whether it is even Ramachandra comes here in a human form, he has to cry. That is what that verse is. Martyavadharasiha Martya Shikshanam. So, and accordingly, in order for us to cry, all that situation will develop in life in such a way. It will happen. So, otherwise it was impossible to think that Sita could speak like this. And Sita Devi says to Lakshmana that, I knew that when you have come with us to the forest, that you had some bad intentions. He says there. So, now I have understood what that intention was. Somehow or the other, Ramachandra has to die, and then you want to marry me, isn't it? So Lakshmana couldn't bear all these things. He closed his ears and he decided to go. By then Maharija has come and Marija was shot by Ramachandra, and Ramachandra met Lakshmana in the forest. By the time they came back to the ashram, Sita Devi has gone. Sita Devi has already been kidnapped. And it is at that time you will see Shuka Brahmarshi about Ramachandra, what he had to say. You see there? That. It is. Tenth chapter, verse 11. It is a beautiful way Shuka Brahmarshi had to say to the world. Rachodhamene vragavadyubine samaksham vaideharaja dukhudarya bayabhidayam brathravane kripanaval priyaya vimukta stri sanginam gadimidhi prathayam chachara. Ramachandra, who is such a great personality, isn't it? Bhratravane kripanaval priyaya vimukta. Travel to the forest with his brother. Such a great soul he is. With his wife Sita Devi and Lakshmana. But look at his state now. Stri sanginam gatimidi. If you get attached, even if it is Ramachandra, he says, doesn't matter. Even if it is Ramachandra, if you get attached in life, stri sanginam gadimidi, their destiny will be like this. They will cry one day. Prathayam chachara. So, even Shuka Brahmarshi can say all these things. We can't say this. He has got the license to do that. He is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. But we have to say like this. Shuka Brahmarshi has said like this. That way we can say that. It's not I or you or nobody or none of us have the right to say this. But Shuka Brahmarshi can say that. We can't say that. But we can say Shuka Brahmarshi has said like this. Stri sanginam gadimidhi prathayam chachara. Old age is like that when separation happens in life, if you are not prepared for that, it will be a great shock in life. It will be a great shock in life. Either you should leave everything and take sannyasam and leave when you are very young and then wander around the whole world. But once you have come to household of life, how it will all develop at the end. You can see this if you observe yourself in the world with other families, that what happens at that time, that suddenly somebody who had with you for many, many years, lived together, adjusted a lot to each other, and suddenly a breakup happens in life. And it is the best opportunity for Maya to take control of the situation. So that is why, Bratravane Kripanaval Priyaya Vimukta Stri Sanginam. He calls him as Stri Sangi, attachment to woman. Stri Sanginam Gadi Midi. Their Gadi is like this. Pradayam Chachara. And that same Shuka Brahmarshi, who spoke about Ramachandra like this, fully knowing that he tells us now. This is about Ramachandra, he said. Then he turns around and says to us, what does he say? That we can say happily. 11th chapter, if you look, 17th verse. That's what he is saying to us. Stri pum prasangame tadrag sarvatratra samavaha abhishwaranam kimuta gramyasya grahachetasa. He is saying that if this attachment between husband and wife, if it is so strong, even with Ramachandra and Sita Devi, if that is the situation, Sita Devi is Brahma Vidya, isn't it? Spiritual knowledge personified is Sita Devi. Ramachandra is always in the realized state. When they came here and they have played this role of husband and wife, Sita Devi and Ramachandra, and a development attachment has developed like this, in knowledge it has developed. And after that, Sita Devi was separated and Ramachandra is crying now. Stri pum prasangam edadrak sarvatra trasamavaha. And they are crying. If it is like that, he is saying, Api Ishwaranam Kimuta. If it can happen to them, Gramyasya Grahachetasa. Gramyasya Grahachetasa means people like us who are living fully satisfied and happily in our household life, holding the house and managing the whole thing and feeling this is the center of the happiness and living like this. What will happen to us, he is asking. Shubhramashi is asking is, what is going to happen to them, he is saying. He is feeling sorry for us. But people like us who will get attached to such an extent in family life, and when that separation or breakup happens, Kim Ishwaranam, he says, Kim Ishwar, Abhi Ishwaranam Kimuta, Gramyasya Grahajayadasa, what has happened to ordinary people like others? He feels sorry for us, in other words. We'll continue next. It's time, isn't it? It's 10:45, so we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada.